Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, yeah. We never need. And my homie Chili Chill. Yeah, yeah.
We give it up for platinum.
We give it up for platinum.
Chili Chill. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
We give it up for platinum.
Hey Shonda, hey sis, you start to show off, and we'll be right if they hear from McQueen first. What's today's topic about?
Good evening, folks. Well, Shonda is not on the line today, not yet. She will be checking in. This is your friendly Haitian abomination, Don Calypso, who's running your switchboard. And Ronin Soul 75, the anti-hero, is on his way. But in the meantime, we have Chili Chill on the line, the man who came up with this nice new intro song you guys heard. How you doing, Chill?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well. Like I said, I'm just waiting for Ronan to come in. I was expecting to have people already on the lines as well as in the chat room. I do see an error code 940, but they're just listening. They don't have their hand up, so I'm not going to open up their line just yet. This episode is titled Inside the Mind of the Anti-Hero and the Haitian Abomination because, as you know very well, a lot of listeners and disgruntled fans have been flooding Shonda with complaints regarding the presence of yours truly and Ronan on the show as far as our comments, our opinions. So, once again, we're having an open forum where we are letting people call in if they have any questions they want to ask, be it to myself, to Ronan or to the other regular panelists when they do show up, you know, whether they have a question they want to ask the scholar, the Abe, the Black Man 37. So we're opening up the line. And by the way, I just want to give a shout-out to Self-Guided, who showed up in the chat room. That's our first guest for the day. I am there myself. So what's on your mind, Chill, until other people come in? Well, tell us what you've been thinking about.
Man, pretty much, I want to see who's going to call in.
I have a feeling those who should call in will not. They will probably flood Shonda with more hate mail afterwards. But, you know, what else should we expect from cowards? Well, if you don't mind, I know we don't have much listeners. I might have to repeat myself later on, but one thing that is getting on my mind, which I was discussing with my wife earlier. Oh, and shout out to Miss Computer Lady who just showed up in the chat room. Miss Computer Lady, you know the number. Call in 347-884-8239. You're a regular panelist and our backup switchboard operator. But here's the thing that got to me. I'll tell my wife. At church today in the service, one of the things the pastor has been doing now is on every quarter, on Youth Sunday, he honors those children who make the pastor's honor roll. Pastor's honor roll is you have to have A's and B's or all A's. If you have a C, it doesn't matter. You don't get into it. You know, it's our church has that particular standard. And one of the things they do is on such days, it doesn't matter how many people they have to call up, you know, to the front to honor them. The pastor said if they have to just call in, you know, start calling names, maybe do offering, take a break, and go back to calling names, benediction, he'll do that because it's important to honor and to encourage those students who are achieving, especially since it's a majority Black church. And the thing my wife was saying is, why is it that in the community at large, you don't see this support to those young Black kids who are achieving well, who are doing good in school, getting a GPA of 3.5 or higher? Because, you know, we will celebrate the kid who can throw a 100-yard pass. We're going to celebrate the kids who can slam dunk, but we tend to diss those who do very well academically. And, you know, that is my rant. Why is it that Black, you know, why is it that in the Black community we ourselves don't do more to encourage and promote those among us who are doing well? So what say you?
Yeah, I mean that's true though. That's true though. I mean I see that too. I don't see that neither. That is kind of sad though. Really, when you think about it, because they do, they celebrate anything else, or they you know give props to anything else but that. And, you know, education is a whole lot better than sports or any of that.
But
really,
hey, chill. Here's one thing. My wife and I have been talking about it. Tell them what you think. You know, education, as T. Smitty always says, it's not about just go to college. We understand that, you know, to some degree, college is a hustle because, you know, especially with student loans and stuff. But today, the child with the highest GPA, who had over a 4.0 because he's probably taking a lot of AP classes, he's a kid that the pastor said last year, when they were doing the college tour, that kid, his grades were mediocre. But what happened is, as he visited different schools, he learned that if he had high enough grades, no matter how expensive they are, he could get to go for free. And you know how a lot of people will say about, oh, well, they make it hard for us. You know, they set us up. We got to take student loans, and then we're in debt slavery. But yet, there are means out there, if you do get the grades, where you can go for free. You know, where you realize that your good grades can earn you some, can translate into money that you don't have to get out of pocket. So, again, why is it we look down on education? I say we as in the general Black American population, when a couple of hundred years ago, you could get your tongue cut off or your eyes poked out for daring to learn how to read. What say you?
Exactly. Man, I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, because that really doesn't make sense, though.
Well, hey, tell me. I know you're just guessing, but no, do tell me. What do you think? What would you hypothesize based on what you've observed in our Negatitis B virus comrades?
Well, no, I mean, it's hard to think, Kyle. It's really hard to put together what people think, though, you know, in today's society. When you just know automatically, if you are doing something that's positive and then they push them to something that's positive, it's always a good payout at the end of the day. If you do, like, if you give props, it will encourage more of our youth to basically stay in school and want to do good in school if there's some type of rewards to that, and they can see that. Just like you were saying, the one particular kid that grades was mediocre, and now it's not. Now it's better, rather.
I mean, but he had the top GPA of all the people.
Yeah, that's more of an improvement. Because he's doing that because he see he's going to achieve something at the end of the day. So somehow, well, I guess we would have to get to the point to where, I don't know, you have to reach out at them kids to let them understand that they can achieve something and be able to see that. So they physically can see them go through that, and then maybe that may change the situation.
So what kind of incentive would you suggest? I mean, because think about this. The kid who does very well in the sports, he gets the accolades, and sadly, I know I don't want to turn it into a gender thing, but sadly, when it's the young boys, you know, they get the women throwing the punani at them. So what could we do? Because, you know, this is the incentive a lot of people have to going into sports or going into criminal activities. What could we do to incentivize achieving? And I'm not saying just getting good grades for the sake of getting good grades, but getting good grades as in a result of hard work, applying yourself to learn, to just to excel in whatever task you do. How do we incentivize our children to do that?
Well, I mean,
or how would you suggest we do that?
Well, shit, you probably would have to do the same thing on how you reward someone to play sports. So they can get trophies and they can get, you know, certificates and all that, then give the kids that's doing good and grades the same thing, or trips or anything like that.
Yeah, sounds fair enough. Let me open up a Miss Computer Lady's line, because I'm pretty sure she has an opinion. Then decides, even though she doesn't have her hand up, she is family. She's been one of the original members of the crew. So, Miss Computer Lady, I'm putting you on the spot. Your line is open. And tell us what you would suggest we do to incentivize for our young kids to achieve better academically.
First of all, hello, everybody. Happy 2012. I've been missing you all, and thank you for opening the line. I'll be brief. Let me just say that with that, it's surprising that it's a topic that is still being talked about today, because this has been talked about like 10, even 15 years ago and beyond that. Rewarding students as far as academia, I think that's important, because you don't want to have where, okay, I worked hard to get this AB and whatever, and not get rewarded for that, for them being recognized, all of that. If a person is good in sports, that's fine, but there was a time when it was a standard to which if you're going to play sports, you're going to have to make sure these grades are up, because if you do not have these grades up, you will not play. That needs to be set. On the other side of the coin, in recognizing those that have achieved the A's and the B's, let there also be something for those who maybe they're having a hard time getting past the C's and the D's and all of that, because that could be intimidating sometimes to some kids, and it can also devalue them to saying, well, you know, why should I? And then you have kids sometimes, well, I can't excel in grades, but I can excel in sports. And, you know, people will stand up for me because I could be getting a C or D in a class. And then the coach or somebody says to the teacher, well, wait a minute, I know, and we'll get him a tutor and everything, but right now we need him for this game because this is the divisional championship, and he is the highest scorer on the team, and we need him right now. So where are your priorities placed?
Very good point. But my thing is, as far as those kids who are struggling, you know, who you say maybe having a C's and D's, I mean, I would think the encouragement would be that if you work and you get those grades, you get to be in the honor roll. I don't know if we should just give him some kind of consolation trophy, because one of the problems we've had is the culture of mediocrity, where you get a ribbon or a trophy or a medal just for showing up, not for excelling.
Right. See, those are things. Give them something to value. Okay, let's say, for instance, okay, yes, if you make the honor roll, get A's, the principal's roll and all that, yes, you can go to movie for free, or yes, you can go to the sporting events for free and shake hands with the players and all of that. You know, those are good incentives, but maybe include an incentive that's value. Okay, let's say, in addition to getting the A, getting the scholarships and all of that, maybe we can have someone match the amount of that scholarship that's being awarded to you. Maybe, okay, what field do you want to study in? Let's have you go to, a work area where the field that you want to pursue is available to you, so you can learn what's involved in that. Doctor, lawyer, bookkeeper, whatever the case may be. I know it's something not necessarily considered amongst the African-American community, but let me just use it, for example, just to bring up a point. Okay, equestrian studies. You're getting good grades, you're getting those A's and B's or whatever. You want to be, let's say, a farm veterinarian. Spend a day under supervision of someone who is a professional in that field. Learn what it takes, what's involved, what are some of the classes or whatever that has to be taken in order to achieve this. Is there anything outside of the classroom you got to do extra in order to prepare to be in this particular field, to be prepared for this job? So, again, add something of value. And that's not being done. Have something of value. And anybody who might be having challenges in achieving certain grades, if they're seeing that the one getting the A and the B is having something in addition that is valuable, it's like, I wanted to be a whatever, but maybe I can get the help that I need to achieve this goal because I really want to be a whatever the case may be, so that when I have this A and this B, I can receive that, because the field I want to go into, then they're going to have to, according to what they say, match me with somebody in the field I want to pursue so that I can reap the benefit.
Now, how much of this incentive do you think should be given? I mean, okay, I understand. I agree with you, the whole concept of if you know what you want to be, find someone who's in that field, kind of follow them, see what it takes. That's all good, mm-hmm. But who should be the one really pushing that? Is that the job of the school, or is that the job of the parents? And with that question, I'm going to open up Double Up's line. I don't know how much of this he caught, but I know Double Up does, in spite of everything, I know he does care about the kids. He may say otherwise, but Double Up.
Can I add, like, part of the answer to the question? Now,
okay.
when it comes to should it be the parents or should it be the kids,
I'm
a lot of people
should
forget.
Should the parents put on the school?
Excuse me. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, my apologies for that. Actually, okay, the child in the school, but before that child got into the school, the child belonged to somebody's, The parents, if your child is going to that school, you should be involved in every aspect possible. Now, if I'm going way old school on that, I guess I am. Too many times you got too many kids whose parents aren't involved. there was a time if a parent could not be involved, a parent, for their way to make sure that their presence is there, whether they're there or not, they would at least send somebody to that school and say, hi, I'm sorry, due to my work schedule, I'm not able to make whatever, but I'm sending in my stead whoever.
But, you know, realizing as far as saying back in the day when the parents were involved, you know that's double ups of 4K here. So,
okay.
As far as involved parents double up, I know this is your area of expertise. Go ahead. Let them have it.
I was just going to say that responsibility lies on the parents and your kids. It has nothing to do with the school. I'm sorry. We can't blame schools for our kids failing. If my son was a fail, I'll have to take responsibility myself as a parent. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, when I was about 10, my father used to have me open up a newspaper, and he would tell me to read something, right? And I would ask him why. He says, I want to see if you can read. And I used to laugh. I said, yeah, I can read. He says, well, show me. He used to make me read all the time when I was from 10 to 15, 16. He would make me read the paper. And now I understand what he was trying to do. He wanted to make sure I could read. Okay, he was checking to see if I could read. And I do that to my son. I have him to read something, you know. Just have your kids read something. Prove it. That's all you got to do, you know, as parents.
And let me guess, double up. Unlike what some knucklehead psychologists or sociologists would say, your child is not traumatized for you forcing him to read, right? I mean, I bet you his skills haven't been getting better, right?
I don't give a damn if he is traumatized. I'll put my foot in his ass and he can't breathe. I'm sorry, man. That's his own problem. He's traumatized. I'm sorry. You know, because this world's going to traumatize his ass. If he's not prepared in this world as a black man, he's going to be traumatized for the next 30, 40 years. Trust me.
Yeah, I agree with him on that one. Now, hey, double up. Here's the thing. When Miss Computer Lady just got on, and, you know, Miss Computer Lady Chilly Chilling, now we were talking about, I was telling about how at my church today they were honoring all those students who made, like, the honor roll, like 3.5 GPA and higher. And they actually, you know, they devote a whole portion of the service to that. And one thing I forgot to mention is there is a wall of fame in the Family Life Center at the church where they put the picture and name and GPA of all those students, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What the pastor says, those are our local heroes in the church. Now, I was asking, what ways could we incentivize for our children to succeed? Like, just like, you know, we give all kind of adulation and praises when they do well in athletics. What would you suggest we do to incentivize them to do well academically? What's the solution for that, to give them an incentive to do well?
That's a tough one, man, because for some reason, dumb is respected in the black community, man. Excellence is not respected. I don't know why it is, but it's not respected. It's just frowned upon. I don't know what we could offer, man. I mean, as kids, man, I think a lot of kids do things, for girls, you know, and they want to fit in, peer pressure. And I don't see that changing any time, man. If you read and you're educated, you know, you're just going to be frowned upon. You're going to be an outcast.
It's not
going to
change
by
itself. If you just let a machine run by itself, it's bound to go awry. But I'm saying, what can we do? I'm not a parent yet, but as parents or potential parents or, you know, relatives of parents, what can we do to correct that?
I don't do nothing. My son does not get any special credit for doing well in school. I expect him to do well. I mean, I don't expect him to be a straight A student. But I expect my son to get A's and B's and maybe a couple C's and whatever. I don't expect him to get D's or F's. But he doesn't get a pat on the back for getting good grades. It's something that's required. I expect it.
What about this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, in the American system, I was saying earlier, you know, that whole thing about, you know, you get a medal for just showing up. Back when I lived in Zaire in Africa, in the French system, they tell you your rank in the class. The teacher will tell you who's first, who's second, out of how many students, and it was always a competition. What if your child brings home a report card, he has the highest GPA for his whole grade, you know, he has a high GPA in the school. In an instant like that, don't you think they may deserve some kind of, at least a pat in the back, if they went above and beyond the call of duty? Not just that they did well, but they did excellent.
I don't know. No. Oh, I'm sorry. I say no. I'm sorry. You know what? And I have my own theories for that, because if you start patting kids on the back, you know, they just, it kind of goes in their head. You have to keep the foot on their neck. I'm sorry. That's just my. You have to keep the hammer down on these kids, man. That's just my take on it. I'm sorry.
Look, if they're screwing up, definitely, I understand.
Yeah.
They're screwing up.
Yeah.
You don't just get the foot on their neck. You get your foot. You give them a prostate massage to boot. But if they're doing well,
you got the foot dog.
So you don't have to keep doing well. You don't have to keep to keep it going. Because when the kids do well in sports, we give them all kinds of accolades to encourage them to keep going well in sports. So why can't we do that academically?
Well, I do. Well, my son brings home a good pro card. I look at him like, all right, man, that's nice. I like that. And he's happy. That's all he needs. Yeah, that's good. He did well. And I might give him, you know, 50 bucks to go to movies or you know, concert tickets. I mean, that's about it. It's just not going to be a big old production. This is it. Yeah.
Yeah, but hey, that's a reward in and of itself. The fact that you acknowledge it.
I do. I tell him. I'll say, this is a good one.
Son,
yeah.
Good work. Son, I'm proud of you. Good work.
Yeah.
And you know what? Because you did that good work, here's an extra 50 bucks. Go enjoy yourself in the movies. Have your little extra large popcorn. Hey, to me, I think that would be incentive enough. And speaking of incentive.
Hold on. Here is what I'm going to do. Okay. Well, my son graduates this year. I plan to buy him a car for his graduation present, okay? That's what I plan to do, okay?
Okay.
That's it. He's getting a car. On the day he graduates, I'm going to buy him a car, a used car, not going to be a new one. That's what he's getting, okay? That's it, okay? Job well done. That's it, okay? That's what I plan to do.
I'm
not going to sit there and throw a party every time he gets a B and a grade. He should be getting a B, an A in anyway. I'm not going to sit there and do all that shit, man. No, I don't think so. I expect him to get a good grade, and I expect excellence out of my kids. So I'm going to keep the foot in his ass. You know, the one's going to be on his neck. All right. I'm sorry. That's the way I'm going to do it.
And you see, the thing is, that was expected back when I was going to elementary school,
yeah,
high school, whatever. Back at that time, it was excellence. It was expected. Nothing
expected.
Less. Seriously. I'm just saying from my experience. From my experience, when I grew up, the neighborhood I grew up, and I can say the neighborhood I grew up, when it comes to academics, excellence is expected, and nothing less would be tolerated.
Hey, let me tell you something, Miss Pussy the Lady. If I got an A B honor roll, my mom would say, why did you get all A's? If I got all A's, why did you get A minus in this one? If I got everything, no A minuses, why wasn't no A pluses? I graduated. Okay, I didn't graduate with a bachelor's. I graduated 3.77 from high school. You know what my mother told me in this computer, lady?
What's that?
3.77. That's nice. Why didn't you graduate with 3.9 or 4.0?
Well, she had
quite high standards, and there are some parents who, you know, have those high standards. With me, if I had gotten a B, you know, excellent, great, whatever, nevertheless, okay, what happened in which it ended up being this B plus? Now, this is good, but we're going to see what can be done so that next time you have this, you can get that A.
Yeah. Hey, I expect my son to have a 3.0 and above. You know, and that's cool to me. As long as he has a B average, I'm cool. I'm not going to sit there and he has to get straight A's.
Some parents push for more.
Well,
we have someone that if he had kids, I think he would push them that hard. You all know him as Sergeant Smithers, a.k.a. T. Smitty. Always bragging about his Roll Tide Alabama, and why the hell is his intro theme song not playing? God damn this studio.
Ooh, now see, you're wrong. I'm clicking
the damn thing to play, and it's, Well, let's see if I can at least open his microphone, because the switchboard's acting up.
Come on, Baltimore. I'm sorry, I had to get that out.
All right, Sergeant Smithers, I'm sorry, but your Alabama Roll Tide thing doesn't seem to want to play, man.
Hey.
All I got to say is one thing. Hey, I know it may piss y'all off, but roll damn Tide. National champs, baby, once again.
Lucky, man.
Hey, no. Hey, all I know is that Lucky when it comes to horseshoes. But, hey, is John on the line?
Not what? Yet.
Okay, now I got to tell him.
Chili Chill is here. We got Chili Chill. We got Double Up. We got Utah. We got Ronan, whom I'm going to bring in. We got Miss Computer Lady. We got Abe, who's waiting in the wings. We got a 940. I'm not exactly sure who that is. And in the chat room, we got Miss Computer Lady. We got Relationship Buzz. And we got Self-Guided, who's coming out of being incognito, who's here to show support. And, of course, we have to bring in our other co-hosts for the day, because this is Inside the Mind of the Anti-Hero and the Haitian Abomination. So,
without further ado, there's a lot of swamp land in y'all mind. But anyway, I said it real quick.
The principles.
Yeah. There's a lot of swamp land and webs, so that's my cobwebs, don't mind.
A lot of swamp land in our minds, huh? Ronan, why don't you tell us what's on your mind?
Uh-oh, there's that laugh.
Oh, come on, damn switchboard. Okay, his mic is open.
And Ronan charged $3.95 a minute, too, lady.
He's offering a $2.99 special because, you know, we are in a recession. So just so you guys know, if you call in now, it'll be only $2.99 for your phone sex session. But I digress. We're back to talking about the kids and educational standards.
What's well, that actually, that special is called Teabag Tuesday. It's called $2.99 for Teabag Tuesday.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, I'm here.
Here's the problem I have, man. I have never gone to college before as an electrician. So, you know, I don't know much about college and higher education because I've never gone there, you know. I work as an electrician, and that's where I make my money. So,
well, here's what I can tell you about that. If you're not going there for a degree that definitely requires a college education, like, you know, like something like engineering, chemistry, biology, physics, I mean, you might be better off like going to. There are schools where after high school you can go. There are technical institutes where you can learn plumbing, electricity, carpentry.
Okay.
But you know, you still gotta go get a formal education. Education doesn't mean necessarily college. It means you have a standardized formal training, and then you can go ahead do an apprenticeship under a master carpenter, master electrician, master plumber to further your to get more practice before you go out independently on your own. But now, I still say, if you're going to go that route, I still say it's a good idea. If you're going to work for yourself, you can still go to community college, which is a lot cheaper than regular college. You may not have to take out a loan, and take out some business classes to help you, you know, run your business better, where you don't have spend money on a degree in underwater basket weaving. Well, that's not going to serve for anything. You're $80,000 in debt. If you want to be a theater major, go to some theater company, study under someone. Don't go to a school, have $80,000 of student loans, and before
you finish. Being nice. I ain't quite Double Up. Y'all talking about people in general out there, blog talk land. First things first, I heard Miss Computer Lady back in the day was hooking up to Apple IIs, you know. She was a person to see. But the thing was, Miss Computer Lady had the Oregon Trail and everybody computer. When y'all talk about college, this is the thing. The Department of Labor has a website. They talk about all different kinds of careers with the degree requirements, the training requirements, the median salary, job projections. The information, see, people, one, you can't depend on your guidance counselor, so you know what that means, people? You got to get off your ass and find the information. There are websites all over the place saying which degrees are pretty much a waste of time. Your most profitable degrees, your best colleges for those degrees. It's all there on a Google click. So if you can hook up your smartphone, play with your iPad, get the new timeline on your Facebook page, you could do a Google search for all this stuff. It is all this stuff is right here to click a, like a finger clip away.
Click
a
finger,
away.
Right. Mhm. It is. Yeah. The There was a commercial I had heard, gosh, about 2 weeks ago for a college that said that they will help you in the following three careers. That the other five, they named the top three.
I was
getting this little pool of water on the other line. All right, be nice now. Okay, they say the top three were business, technology, and surprisingly, it was not education. It was science.
Yeah, but people don't want to go into
the thing is, you need, well, you know, the thing is, I said this is amazing, but you need to be educated in business, technology, and science in order to go into those fields. But, you know,
Hey, sweetie.
How you doing? Okay, let me conclude. Now, another
thing
that we've done.
Oh, that's you with the basement computer, lady?
Somebody got a fresh baby over there.
That's me.
I said it's a little poodle. No, see, the other thing I was going to mention was.
I wore a condom, man.
Another incentive that helped. Any students who, let's say, were underachieving, and I don't know if your church does this, is that I remember junior high and all of that. Any students who were achieving the A's and the B's, there were some class sessions where we were paired with those that were having trouble in the subject matter, let's say algebra or trigonometry and all of that. And, like, in some instances, let's say for a whole week, we were paired with them and we were only separated during the test to help them out. So can there be like a pairing or putting together of, let's say, a student who is achieving high academically with someone who needs help? And you know how to help them. So that's
the
one thing that was very effective.
You know what? I'll tell you why I'm against that. I actually watch kids a lot of times when they're walking home from school, and I rarely see our, you know, African-American kids or black kids with books. You rarely see them carrying books. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that, but next time you see kids walking home, see if they're carrying books. They're not carrying books. All right?
Well, I ask my nephew all the time, where are your books? Well, we don't need books.
I'm just saying, my observation, I think what we need to do, our black kids just need to open up a damn textbook. That's our problem. We aren't studying hard enough. We aren't hitting the books. We aren't putting forth an effort for excellence, and that's why we're falling behind. I tell you, man, the future is very bleak for us because between India and China, they have over 350 million college graduates, which is the population of the country.
And the hard
science. Yeah, they're in a hard time. You know, did you know India? You have to have a BA degree to be a secretary. All right, you know that in India, you gotta have a BA degree to be a damn secretary. All right.
Yeah.
Now, that's who we are competing against, man. So me, I'm not worried about it because I'm a black man and I know how to beat the system. But a lot of young brothers don't know how to beat the system and they don't know the angles anymore.
I'm gonna say that's touching your point. The one thing also that's probably a big problem with the whole parent, it may work out with the women, but not the boys, because a lot of boys get drugged down by those degenerate guys who don't want to do right. And I was that black kid who had that pressure. You get the people saying, oh, man, you being corny. You had to white
being
man.
Lame,
put that book down, let's go outside. And remember, now, these are boys now. It's easy as an adult to say, oh, don't worry about it. But you got boys. You got boys making decisions now, and they may succumb to that. So that's why I feel like these parents got to make sure that, yeah, some of these programs sound good on paper, but I think times have changed now than like even when I was a kid with the stuff like that.
Right, and you see, that's what I'm talking about, too. And now, I can understand where you're coming from. But back then, it was the girls and the guys. The guys that were achieving A's and B's were matched with guys who – you know, needed help or, you know, whatever the case may be, and the girls were matched with the girls. If you tried anything, now this is going way back. If you tried any mess, the teacher would get on you, then there would be the report, then your parents would be called, The parents would be fussing, and somehow, some way, the whole neighborhood would find out.
Find out what?
Like I said, I'm talking about a different time now.
Yeah, different. Yeah. Can I ask Till a question? Hey, Till, you there, man?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, cool. You know, it's like education. You know, I know he's been in the music industry for a while. What do you tell these young cats out there who want to be in the industry? Do you tell them have a fallback plan or what?
Yes, you do.
No, what I tell them to do is, for one, is to learn the business first. You know what I'm saying? So they understand what it is that they're coming into. Number one, it's cool having a talent, but at the same time, at the end of the day, if you don't understand the business, you're going to get taken advantage of. That's the number one thing I tell them. Any young and up-and-coming that's coming into
the... You guys know Mick Jagger from the Rolling Stones, right? Heard of him?
Yeah.
When he was starting out, he wanted to be in a rock and roll band, and he wasn't doing well in school. And he told his teacher, you know, I'm gonna be in a band and I'm gonna make a lot of money. And the teacher told him, says, well, you gotta learn how to count all that money you're gonna make, you know. So Mick Jagger got a degree in finance, all right?
All right.
So what you were saying, Chill? What else you were saying?
Nah, I basically tell them to learn the business first before they go in there, before they enter it. Because that's gonna be the number one key on the business. Then if you don't know how to read contracts, if you can't negotiate anything, I mean, you don't know. If you don't know anything about the business, I mean, you don't know what's coming your way. So you don't know what you should be looking for and what you shouldn't be looking for. So awareness is always the number one thing.
And are you also saying they need to have some degree of common sense as far as when they want to go into a certain field?
Yeah, you're going to have some form of schooling and some degree of common sense.
Damn, man. They just keep letting Houston in this damn game, man. Buffalo, I mean, Baltimore is just fucked. They just fucked it up, man.
I told you somebody else was watching the game besides me.
I'm watching it, too. I'm watching Joe Flacco the unibrow mess up again.
Hold on. While Double Luck is recovering from his stress of watching that game, okay, Double Luck. While Double Luck go get this chamomile tea, because obviously that game is kicking him off, I'm going to bring in the one person who put common sense into a book, none other than the champ, the Tazmeister, the author of Common Sense A Common, which is available on the books tab at TazDaddy.com, Taz Daddy himself. And, of course, the Darth Vader music is not playing, but let's see if his line will open up. Thanks, Switchboard.
Oh, man. Shoot, on the TV, they're recognizing the kids. They must know we were going to talk about this. I wonder what grades they got.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, how's everybody? Everybody good?
Good.
Yes, sir.
Doing good. How you doing?
Oh, man, I don't have a complaint in the world, and if I gave it to you, you wouldn't want to hear it. Shoot, man.
Hey.
You know, it's a funny thing. When we talk about learning the business, you know, I am one of those people who has fortunately or unfortunately, depending on which side of the coin you decide to stand on, has spent, you know, all of my childhood and all of my adult life in this business. And the thing of it is, if you look at anything, I don't care if it's science, I don't care if it's a medical journal, most things are written in plain English. The reason that contract sounds like they came from Macbeth is to trip you up.
Amen.
A layperson is not going to be able to read or understand his contract because there's certain wording in those contracts. You know, if I and I keep in mind, I use contracts all the time in business. And there have been groups that I've managed, artists that I've had under my employ, and I've had straight up and down real contracts. I'm not out to jack anybody, but if I'm investing my time, oh, best believe you're going to be cutting this check to me for a minute, player. And so you have a contract that's what's called a standard 1 year with six non-revocable options, which means that, yes, it's a year contract, but at the end of that year, I have the option to drop you, or extend that contract for yet another year, 6 times. So I got you for 6 years. Luckily for you, I'm a reputable businessman, but you should have the common sense enough to hire a lawyer and say, you know what, I don't want those 6 non-revocable options in this contract. But you don't. So that's why you hear so many people get mad at the ditties of the world. You hear locks, oh, we had to wear shiny suits and we had to do this, we had to do that. Yeah, but you were so thirsty for a record deal, you never bothered to read the fine print or hire someone who has spent 3 years of law school, 2 years as a clerk, and God knows how many years as an attorney to read it for you.
And got paid off of it.
Well, that's what comes. That's what comes into lining the business, lining the air what you entering. That was the whole purpose why I said that. I don't know if you heard that before.
No, I definitely heard it. It wasn't attacked against you. Not at all. When I'm speaking, I'm just speaking to the topic, not to a man. If that was the case, I'd address you, brother.
No, I feel you.
Well, hey, remember, Taz, common sense ain't common. And
yeah.
certain individuals whose two-syllable name starts with an N who suffer from the Nicotitis B virus are allergic to reading.
Yeah.
And by the way, we do have Covino Man on the line. Covino Man, what do you say about what Taz had to say about people not taking the time to read the contract? Because I know that's something that would probably bother you a lot. Your line's open, Covino Man. What do you say on that?
Yeah, I would agree, man, but... I think the whole thing with education, man, because I heard part of the show. I was in my car on my way home, and I was listening on my phone, and you were talking about, you know, what could motivate people to pursue education, and I think money.
Not to pursue higher education, to achieve. I'm talking about at the high school level. When you have those young kids, rather than waste their time doing nothing, acting a clown, how do you motivate them to do well? You know, to give it their all so they can actually do well and feel, you know, so have a sense of accomplishment as opposed to just swing, but, you know, just slip by.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that for me, man, you know, me being in my 40s, man, I couldn't relate somewhat what Ms. Computer Lady was saying and then, you know, how the younger dudes are, because I think when I was younger and, you know, in the 80s and in school, I felt I was invested in the country. I was invested in the system, so I really didn't care whether or not my academics was up. I was like, well, you know, it's not my system. I was, you know, a young, you know, black militant type kid, and so I really didn't care about the system. He couldn't tell me nothing. You know, it wasn't until I actually, you know, graduated high school, went out into the world, started working, and when I found out it didn't matter if I cared if I was vested in the country or not, they don't discriminate against me anyway, so I may as well go out there and get my education and just take my lumps. So I went out and just got my education. I went back to school at 25 and got my master's degree and you know, got myself, you know, financially set. And I kind of took it as, in spite of the discrimination, I'm going to go out, or maybe in spite of discrimination, I'm going to go out and get my education. And so I think for a lot of people, maybe, you know, they have to be motivated that, yeah, it's a war going on, it's a war for survival, and your education is going to be needed to fight this system of racism, white supremacy. So, you know, it's academic and it's a war crime, man. We need to get our education because we need to fight.
Oh, boy.
What do you got? What do the other panelists have to say on that?
Mark.
I mean,
go ahead. I got nothing but
time. Okay. First, I hope Taz loved that picture I sent him me barbecuing yesterday. It's nice 70-degree weather.
I rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
That's exactly what we're talking about.
Hey, yeah, I know. I love picking on y'all about the weather. But the thing is, you know, that's how I tell my younger cousins this. I said, hey, the system is jacked. But you got to play by the rules of the system. I'm just screaming from the peanut gallery here. And I grew up in the heart of racism, Montgomery, Alabama, which was the first Confederate capital. So, you know, that's the, we know racism still exists. But my thing is, all these other groups, what they've done, they come in and they played the game. Sometimes you're going to have to play the game because you cannot fight the system with slingshots. You like those crazy people in Palestine trying to fight Israeli tanks with rocks and slingshots and pellet guns. It ain't working, and it hasn't worked for us because I just feel like that education is not an end-all, be-all, especially when you have black people not getting into the hard sciences. So I'm sorry. If you get a master's degree and you still only make $30,000 a year, you just wasted a whole lot of money. I'm just keeping it real.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm just keeping it real. But also the problem with us is we don't want to, and y'all know my life thing. I'll say this real quick. Me and contract, I read my defense contract when I signed up for the Air Force. I read it through. I ain't talking to my family attorney. I read it through. And, like, now they talk about cutting life, retirement, and stuff like that, and those guys, and they're getting grandfathered in. Hell, you know, all the military really entitles you to is 8 hours of sleep. They don't even have to pay you. They just got to feed you and give you a hot bed. But when y'all talk about education not being the end-all, be-all, it's not the end-all, be-all. But at the same time, you have, as a people, we're going to have to stop thinking we do everything by ourselves, stop thinking folks who have more experience, maybe more knowledgeable, can't tell us anything. Because, like, with my transition out the airport, I have talked to people. You know, I even talked to Taz. You know, we talk all the time with stuff like this. And I talk to other people as well, but I help me out because they're more knowledgeable about this stuff than I am. And so the thing is, you're going to have to talk to people and be more knowledgeable and who are more knowledgeable instead of trying to do it by yourself and thinking folks can't tell you nothing. It ain't worked yet, and it ain't going to work.
So it ain't.
And Joe Blanco,
if I may be so indulged for just a couple of minutes.
Preach on.
Hi. And I'm not saying this to impress anybody, but to impress upon people that my point is not coming from a place of I couldn't do it. I hold a BS in English, a BA in Broadcasting, Telecommunications, and Mass Media, and an MBA. And I got all of my degrees at the same time in 5 years. Having said that, I will say this. The one thing that pisses me off about pseudo black intellectual militants is that everyone wants to say, well, if all black people got their quote-unquote education, then we could rise up as a people and everything would be all right and we'll be home in time for ham hocks. Ain't
no right to you.
That is not our problem. Our problem as a people is that we are organized as a wet dream and half as warm, with zero payoff. Aside from that, when you go back and analyze the biggest thing about the civil rights movement, the head of it, Martin Luther King Jr., was very educated. Child prodigy, had his degree at 15. He was running things, but you know who he was leading? A bunch of Pullman porters, bus boys, waiters, and maids and nannies who did not have, in most cases, even a high school education. But what they did have is a collective need to want something better. Thus, you had the Montgomery bus boycott. We don't agree on anything.
Money.
We allow people who have been appointed by people outside of our race, in our race, to speak for us. Al Sharpton, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, so on and so forth, the talking bobblehead black man. I never elect none of these people. These people never speak for me. But you allow other people to dictate to you what your policy is. You don't know what the president is or is not doing because, God forbid, you watch CNN, MSNBC, or even BBC America longer than 5 minutes because you'll break out in hives and, oh, my God, you'll get a wrinkle on your brain from learning something. But you allow America as a whole to dictate to you what is cool, from your polo hoodies to your Timberland boots. But when Bill Cosby said it, he's a hater. We got to get past this education thing because we have been told that a $40,000 a year culmination piece of paper known as a receipt or a degree automatically makes you qualify. in a country where a C student at Yale ran the damn world. Seriously? Really?
Ooh, I got to feel behind that.
Which is why I said in the beginning that I got 3 degrees and I graduated at the top of my class. So there's no mistaking that it can be done. But I've run branches of corporate entities and never been asked for my degree. Unless it's a specialized field, 9 times out of 10 you don't need it because it's a hustle.
Yeah.
From the chair that makes you sit in to the books that make you buy, 5 minutes later changing it for the next semester so you can't resell it, and they get the profit heavy. You become a part of the machine that allows this hustle to continue while they teach you to get a J-O-B and climb the corporate ladder but never teach you how to build the building upon which the ladder leans. I'm off my soapbox.
Ooh. All right, let me say something. Let me say something, Taz, real quick, man.
Who got the collective voice?
Okay, go ahead. I hear everything you're saying, man. But you need to check out my show, the show about Black Brotherhood, and we ain't on that BS. We're about getting it done, and we're on a totally different. We ain't no we shall overcome type of person. We're not talking about what we're gonna do, get a job. We're talking about moving forward. It's everybody that, you know, that's on the line and listen to the show. Check out the Black Brotherhood show and see what we're about. And I encourage every brother to call in and join the think tank because we're about something totally different. We're moving on Black nationalism 100%.
COVID, man.
Okay.
Just explain
anything about the show.
COVID, man. Okay, let me just say this. Basically, the last show, because I listened in, and I did contribute, the last show was about the importance of actually acquiring and owning land where you can build on, as opposed to, you know, wasting your money on rims and all that other good stuff. And $200 Jordans, are you going to leave your kids in the car so they can catch ammonia? Yeah, because, again, that shows that some people don't read. But, again, that's a whole other show.
You know what, though? No, I'll say this, though. See, the thing is, it's like nothing guaranteed. Because I know since my time in the Air Force, you know, they always tell you, hey, you work, you stay 20 years, you retire. Funny thing happens. On the salary of a military member who's enlisted, you can do 50 years. He's not going to have enough money to just retire until you have to find another job. All right, this is the thing. Two things. First, I've talked to so many veterans who did 20-plus years, half degrees, they can't find a job. Working in a warehouse at the Gap and having to do the same crap that we've done. Two, a lot of the military jobs translate terribly to the outside. Three, if they've been there so long, companies don't practice ageism. They just look at your resume, look at when you graduated high school, see how long you worked somewhere. And they say you're too old and say you're overqualified. I learned that because I could talk to someone who's in the HR industry. That's what I'm going into. But the thing is, I feel like if you're going to go get a degree, at least get something that pays some money. Because I'm sorry, if you're making $35,000 social work with a master's degree, you're wasting all your money. I'm just being honest. And we also, it's also about ownership, but we also have to find a way to control industries, the industry where the business we own. Because I always bring up McDonald's. McDonald's control the farms. Now, I don't know how the hell they make a chicken McNugget. I don't know how they make that perfectly rectangle fish sandwich. I don't know how they do it. I don't know, you know. But the thing is, they control their farms. They control all of that, so they keep the money within. And so we have to look how much money you spend on hair, rims, clothes. You know, we control that industry, or even like the food industry. We got to control it because out here in Phoenix, the Hispanics control the landscaping. And before people start laughing, these guys charge $50-$60 a yard, and they probably do 5-6 yards a day. And what they do, they drive around these neighborhoods all day long, leaving business cards out there, and they doing this every day. They making a lot of money off of that. And they work these fields out here. Like right now they have cotton. Next, I'm talking a month later, it'll be cabbage. Some guys are working this agriculture, and they're controlling it. So we have to control the industry as well, too. But we got to come together as well.
Keith Smitty, you know that the problem is none of that's sexy. You don't see Rick Ross planting roses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We are a bunch of sheep who follow whatever we see on TV as opposed to where the money is.
Tez, you know what? You guys are addressing exactly. This is why. This is where, as crazy as sometimes I think International Booby can be, this is where I agree with him. He said, you know, because Solon Black was saying how, you know, people got to think in terms of, you know, agriculture. That is an area where there is a big need, that there is a killing to be made as far as money. And International Booby said, what you need to do is make a DVD, make a booty shaking video. You get some white girls, some black girls shaking their butts, and you got guys looking happy working on a farm, and this is what will get the nicotinic virus stations to do it. And sadly, seems like, yes, yeah, I'm sad to say, it seems like you need that kind of manipulation. And, you know, I even mentioned on this one show on Saturday where a lot of people don't know jack about the government, for example. You know, they expect, oh, President Obama got to do this, Obama got to do that, not knowing the duties and responsibilities of the president. And what I suggested is maybe we need a constitutional twerk team where you got girls twerking with the Constitution written on their butt, and as it's shaking, you get people reading it. Because honestly, there's no way. How could you be an American citizen and not know jack about how your government works? Or, you know, but yeah, you expect your president to chase your gas bill.
So I could go in any random hood in America, put a gun to an average 22-year-old's head, and say, right now, give me the preamble to the Constitution. And I guarantee you, I'd be blowing most heads off. Now, as far as who has what show and who's doing what, at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, we are the exceptions and not the rule. And until such time as we own the means of production, we will continue to be the exception. Every record company in America is not owned by black people. You can't name one. And everybody says, oh, but look at Russell Simmons and Def Jam. Yeah, try Rick Rubin. Look at Live Nation. Rock Nation. Yeah, try Live Nation. All of them are owned by Jewish people, and that's no shot against Jewish people. I ain't Farrakhan. But what I'm saying is, when someone else is controlling the means of production and the means of distribution, they can decide wholeheartedly what is going into your ears and into your eyes and into your mind. And until we can get ourselves together and make that happen, we're going to continue to have this to the point where we're going to have to wait until these folks infested with the nicotinic B virus die off.
I love it.
So
I don't know about that,
Taz. Don't get it.
I got to call time out here. Flag on the play. First of all, that virus is highly contagious. Even if you wait for those who have it to die off, a new breed will come out, and there's already a strain of nicotinic C that's taken over. But that's a whole other show. And, Miko, sorry for having kept you waiting for so long. Miko, your line is open. And I also see Straight Truth BC, who's been on hiatus for a while, the elder statesman. Your line is open, too. But, Miko, you have the floor.
Hello. Hi. How y'all doing? Fine. How are you? I'm well. Happy to be here. I didn't even realize the time was going by so fast, so quickly. I would have been here earlier. I'm not actually out shopping. But
did you buy me?
What? Yeah, but seriously, it seems so. Since I've been listening, I've heard us talk about the media and education being kind of a gyp. That I already know because, you know, going to college now, I haven't really learned anything since I've got into college, anything that I didn't already know from hustling and being on my grind and researching and reading books and stuff like that. You know, I kind of learned how to run a business and stuff on my own just throughout the years. You know, I've owned a business since I was in my teenage years. I had an online website, and ever since then, I've always been a bit of an entrepreneur. But, you know, school is the biggest hustle, and it's the biggest racket. It's the only business where they don't cater to the clientele. They don't cater to the clientele at all. They pick arbitrary times that are inconvenient for the students to attend classes. They, you know, overcharge, and the books are overpriced.
Yep.
And, you know,
yep.
they change these editions every semester. It sucks.
Yep.
And you know. And then I was even talking to some of the professors, you know. I'm like, you know, that they're not giving you enough money for the books that you're creating. They're
blowing the horn.
They're hustling you, you know. Honestly, they're hustling you. They're only giving you $12 or $13 a copy of a book. They're charging $105 for the book. And why are you only getting $13? You created the book.
Because he's a moron. I'm so glad he said that. Oh, my God, I'm so glad he said that.
He's smart. He probably, I'm the smartest guy in the room. I wrote this book. Too bad. They're the smartest ones in the room.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, this is a new age. I was like, I know you have to publish one book with them. Go ahead and publish one book with them. You know, in order for you to become, you know, a tenured professor. I was like, but there's other ways of selling your book. I was like, there's so many online sites. Go ahead and sell it online, you know, and get, you know, 80 to 90% of the profit.
That's what I get mine,
you know, everybody has Kindles these days. Why should the school make a profit? Nobody wants to buy those big, heavy textbooks anyway. And even if they don't have a Kindle, they can download them on their computers now. They have, you know, created an app for that. So there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to make their own profits off their own books. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, but when you hang tenure over a professor's head, it becomes a different ball game. You got to understand that they're just hoes in the system too. The pimps are the boards of trustees and the president of the university and whoever else he has to answer to.
Yep,
yeah.
And they're all crooked. They're crooked as hell, you know. They all have their own agenda, and none of it is to help the students. You have the first and foremost, their salaries are way too exorbitant, you know.
Some of them.
A lot of them. The president of the and the vice president of the school, even a regular community college, they're making at least $155,000 a year.
I should have done that for a living.
Yeah, how about it?
Hold on. BC's been waiting for a while. BC, your line has been open. I'm opening with Miko. But yeah, BC, it's been a long time.
It does.
So
always a long
you
time.
You got the floor.
And bless each and every one of you. I'm just tired.
Wait, BC, before you say it, BC, I'll say it for you. The problem is people are dumb, deaf, and blind. Go ahead.
No, man, my biggest problem is complain, whine, gripe, bitch, all over the night. I'm a foreigner, okay? I lived here for damn near 40 years of my life. My kids were born here, right? Got a son in the system. Learned how to use the system when I came here. My three kids. Our college product, right? Learn how to use the system so I don't have to pay no goddamn money for books, for tuition, or nothing, right? I can't understand, right, living in this country, how we don't sit up here and do that. I work in the system, and I try to get these kids to do the same thing. I have a son, went to Oklahoma State University, graduated with a chemical engineer degree, you understand? Didn't have to pay shit. Okay, now working for six figures, just built at 25, just built his first home. Okay, two kids still in college. All right, we complain, whine, bitch all the time about the system. You know the system is screwed up. You know your people is screwed up. Okay, instead of whining and bitching, learn how to manipulate the system like other people do. Right, that's why I got away from this BTI bullshit. Right, all the time, over and over again. There's too much whining, too much bitching among our people. And who is suffering? Us. We're suffering. If I can sit up here and came from the poorest land in this damn hemisphere, okay, and learn how to manipulate this system we bitch and complain about and get three kids in college without paying shit, right, why can't you do the same shit?
Hey, BC. Here's the thing. See, you were tying back to exactly what I was talking about at the beginning when it was just me, Chill, and Miss Computer Lady. We're talking in Double Up, when Double Up first came on. We're talking about the fact that you have, you know, a lot of, you know, you have those kids at my church. This kid who got the highest GPA, like, cause they had like 102 kids that they recognized for GPA 3.5 and over. This kid had mediocre grades. when he went to a college tour and he found out that with a lot of schools, if you get your grades up, you can get your school totally paid for, he worked his butt off, and I guess he was taking AP classes because his GPA was like 3.475, something like that. So obviously, it can be done. But the question is, how do we incentivize our kids to do better so that they can get those grades that will open those doors for them to get those scholarships? Because there is that money on there.
You stop hugging your damn kids so much and start telling them, as opposed to saying, I'll get you that Xbox if you get good grades. So I'm not paying for it.
I work in the school system.
Stop rewarding, you know, inferiority.
That's
what you need to do.
We
you
know, most of the students are 2.5. All you got to do is have a 2.5 to get
Xboxes and MacBooks, even though their grades suck.
Hey, one at a time. Hold on. Miko, BC was trying to say something, but he came in low.
You know what? Every organization I see right here, you know what I did? I sit up here, right? Got with my kids, sit back up here with, but damn near every day I was sitting out sending 3 and 4 scholarships. I don't give a shit if it's $100. I don't give a shit if it's $500, right? And they keep coming in. Afterwards, you know how much money I sit up here and rolled in to be able to send my kids to school, right? We are lazy. We don't want to do it. We whine, we bitch, we complain about a system. You ain't going back to Africa. You ain't going nowhere else but sitting in this system right here. So you have to learn how to manipulate the goddamn system. And if you don't, you're going to suffer. It's 2012. Last year we were talking about the same shit. This year we're talking about the same shit even more.
Power to the people. Who will tap?
I'm sorry. I like that guy. Hey, y'all know what, though? I got a point. I just thought about this. When Miko was talking about colleges being overpriced, hey, yes, they tell us in the military. Now, I'm using that as I can, you know. Hey, if they going to pay for it, I let them pay for it. But, hey, that's a cap on this education they give us. So guess what? I still have to take out a student loan, you know. And get this. The part that kills me when Miko was talking, how come these so-called HBCUs that's for the blacks are still charging $40,000 a year, a semester, you know?
At the end of the day, man, HBCUs are just there to make people feel better about being mediocre. You know, a lot of them are underfunded and overpriced.
We got a band.
I don't know about that part.
Yeah, you ain't got to know about it. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I'll give you two examples. Number I applied for 15 schools. Every last one of them I got into. I went and toured Cheney, where my mother and my father and my uncle went, and their program for what I wanted to do was lackluster and mediocre. I went to Lincoln University, and they had everything. They had free laundry, free cable, everything. And then they said, well, in your senior year, you'll go to Temple and finish up your broadcasting program. I'm like, finish up my broadcasting program at Temple? Why can't I finish it here? Well, we don't have the facilities that Temple has. All right. Deuces. Then my ex-wife went to Tennessee State. Full scholarship. She had applied for a gang of scholarships. Unbeknownst to her, there were scholarships that she had gotten that the president of the university embezzled. And this happens especially in HBCUs in the South all across the country because we went and investigated a bunch of cases and found out that there were thousands of kids who look like you and I who are getting jacked by the HBCU system that isn't being watched and monitored as tough as some of these allegedly mainstream schools. It's a damn hustle. Some of them are great. You know, the big ones, the Morehouses, the Howards, yeah, they're popping and clicking on all cylinders, but they're not. A lot of them are not on the level, period.
Mars Brown couldn't even pay the water bill. Not in Atlanta. Yeah, and you
but,
know what,
you know,
I say this about the books.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I say this about the books, man. It's like, I know it was like some books, I'd be going to these websites and just rent them, and sometimes those books feel like $100-some-odd. And it's and like the thing is, I've seen books where I had to switch a class because a book didn't even come in because they switched the book. So it's a big mess out there, but I still tell people, if you're going to go, pick the right field like BC son did, go to chemical engineer. He ain't go for basket weaving or botany, you know. He went for something that was real. But a lot of these people, black, especially blacks, are afraid to go in these hard sciences because it's too hard. We coddle our kids too much. Instead of putting the boots in their asses and say, hey, you're going to do this type of thing. This is what's out here. You know, be like the Indians and the Chinese and the Asians out there. They ain't out there saying, well, hey, I just want to make $30,000 a year and say, hey, I'm strong and educated. No. It's about, see, they have a concept of legacy also. And maybe that, hey, we may not be the ones that say, hey, turn this thing around, but at least plant the freaking seed. At least get the ball rolling, at least. We don't get the ball rolling. We too busy wanting all the glory.
Nope, not at all. You know what it is, though. I mean, the bottom line is, man, we sit up here, we hug our kids to death, we give them everything that our parents couldn't give us because we got guilt. Then, if you were stupid enough to spread your legs for some moron who didn't want anything to do with you other than getting your cooch, now you got to raise a kid, you know, who, A, is going to have daddy issues, and, B, you're overcompensating for. So what tends to happen is you start taking this tree-hugging, liberal approach to how you raise them and say, oh, whatever they want to do will be wonderful. No. Because everybody else in this country dictates to their children what they're going to be. Go to a 7-Eleven if you don't believe me. Go to a Dunkin' Donuts if you don't believe me. Go to a Chinese restaurant or a dry cleaners if you don't believe me. Only us. We have all of this stuff, and we have nothing to show for it. And so there just has to be a massive swell of getting people up off of their asses and changing the way that they handle their kids.
Well, one thing I can say on that matter is as far as what you're going to do, I know growing up, you know, a lot of people kind of expect I was going to go into medicine because that's what my parents were. But my parents said, what my mom said is, we're not going to tell you what you got to do, but say, whatever you're going to do, get some kind of education. It wasn't necessarily college. My mom was like, if you want to work with your hands, you're going to be a plumber, electrician, or carpenter, go to school to get the formal training, you know, get some kind of certification, and then go get an apprenticeship. But they said, always do get some kind of training, you know. And same thing for people who do hair, because, you know, I guess no matter what state you are, there are some kind of regulations you have to adhere to in order to be able to do hair.
Yeah.
Well, go to beauty school, spend that money, get that certificate. You may study under someone who does that. Get your paperwork in order, and then do it so that one day you don't get busted by the pimp currently known as Uncle Sam because you are doing your stuff under the table and in your kitchen and not giving him his cut in taxes. I'm just saying.
I was saying Uncle Sam will bitch slap you too. But go ahead.
Well, yeah, you know Uncle Sam gonna get his. But I will challenge anybody. You know, after beauty school and you get your certification and everything, why not go further and check on becoming a distributor too?
But can I hit on something that saw, you know, one of the gentlemen just said. You know, being in the school system, man, it just, for me personally, I'm so irritated, right? Because I'm out there. Right now, we have about 75% of fourth graders and fifth graders and third graders reading below 50%, and they're functionally illiterate, okay? Now, here we are, right? You know, the grown folks already see their heyday. But guess and tell me what they are doing. They are bringing up these individuals now to take their place. This is what's happening. Okay? And for me personally, that's why I say I'm through with the grown folks. I'm trying to get these kids, right? And what is heartbreaking, you know, a little lady came in here. I call her a little lady because, you know, that's what I do. I try to teach them to say good morning, how you doing, yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, and so on and so forth, especially working in the Title I system. And what has happened, right, came from California, right? Cannot read in the third grade and cannot even read and understand on the first grade level. Okay, these are the things that's happening to our young black kids, right, boys and girls sitting in the school system. And the schools are being dumbing down. And I'm asking the parents, and I'm asking the individuals who think they're our leaders, right, force them to go to the city council and the governors and whoever it is to make a difference and change the curriculum of our kids. Because this is what's happening to us, right? Right? Because if you look right now, over 1,500 black kids right now arrested. okay, every day in this United States of America.
BC, is it just about changing the curriculum or also getting the parents involved, you know, making sure that parents check that, make sure the kid does the homework and stuff?
Oh, both. You have, you know, some parents, they don't want to change. I don't care what we do, they don't want to change. When parents come in here, right, and you ask for a parent-teacher meeting, sitting up in here, and your child's failing, and you miss, you know, oh, I will be there tomorrow. You ain't come. Next week you ain't come. He had the whole semester gone. The first 9 weeks, you ain't even show up. And your kid's failing. Getting there. All right? And you don't care. Right? But like the young man says, you know, you spread your legs, you open it for everybody else. You sitting up in here, you know, got 5 and 6 individuals. You got a fourth grader sitting cooking for 3 other kids in the house while you sitting up in the club. Okay? And you wonder why they're trying to take your kids and why you took, you know, all this bullshit's going on, man. And somebody has to raise up. You know, a whole bunch of us need to raise up. We are complacent. And what is happening right now, our kids will run through the same system. They either be in jail, they either be in gangs, you know.
Work at the car wash.
And that's what it is. Because if you look right now, right, it's getting close to 8% of black babies born today from mothers and fathers under the age of 18.
Mm-hmm.
And
life is
higher.
Yep. You know what, BC? And one thing I bring up is like 47% of black boys graduating high school. You can't; these guys aren't even getting the basics. And I feel like that when I was like first grade, I had the roughest time counting loose change in math class. So what my mom did, well, she picked us up for school, went by her job, and she taught me how to count change. And I obviously ain't had a problem since, but she only had to take me like 2 days, and you did it myself, and my grades and that went up. Parents just don't care. And let's be honest. The white man, the system cannot hold me from getting an education. It cannot hold me from even learning how to read. I'm sorry. Too many people are blaming everyone for their fuck up their parents. You cannot tell me that if you cared about your kid, that your kid wouldn't be able to read. You don't care about the children. That's the problem. These folks don't care about their children. All these people using their children, as Ronan would say, unemployment vouchers for child support and all these other tax breaks they're getting. That's all they care about. They care about their children. Their children won't be in the mess that they are in now.
I agree. But, again, you know, it's a lot easier to put the responsibility saying that the teachers are failing our schools or there's not enough money put in the system. But how do you explain immigrants who come from war-torn countries? Like, there are so many African immigrants coming from places like Liberia, who've come from places like Sierra Leone, where there's war, where they came with just the clothes on their back, and yet their kids come here, they excel, they do well. They didn't have all that money and stuff put in their school system like you have here in the United States. Some of them probably went to schools where they still use chalkboards, and, you know, they don't even have notebooks, but yet they can excel. So, where's responsibility?
Look at the college. What the college is doing right now, right? They're alienating American blacks. Okay, let's call it like it is. And I'm telling you, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I see that system going on. They're going to the Caribbean. They're going to Canada. They're going to India. They're going to all parts of the country and bringing individuals in, okay, to study, all right, and affording them all the opportunity to do. Yes, these individuals want to learn and want to go to school and so on and so forth. But what is happening now, I don't think we are pushing right in the United States of America to force these colleges to take these kids. And then what needs to happen, we need to start beating up these damn parents. Okay? They're serious, man. Because what happens,
I'm all for beating up the parents.
You know, no, because what is happening right now, you know, okay, being from the Caribbean, I know right here, 10 years ago, right, you know, the university right here went down to the Caribbean and brought 200 students, okay? Every student, with the exception of two, right, achieved their goal, get their bachelor's degree. A number of students went on to get master's degree. A number of students went on to get PhD. You understand? And filtered through the system, went back home, some stayed here, and so on and so forth. I got a friend in Delaware, right? You know, left and went to Howard. He's a dentist now. I got another friend, got a PhD from the University of Nebraska in physics, and so on and so forth. You know, so we have to sit back here, all right, and get into our community and start teaching right? If the parents don't want to do it, you know, meet the kids at school and mentor these kids. You know, commit for a year because some kids really want to learn. Man, I have a young man sitting up here right now in the third grade. What he goes home to every day, mother, father, uncle, grandmother, everybody smoking dope. All right? This is what that kid has to go through when he comes in and the school is his only sanctuary. So
now,
we have to start meeting them there now, you know.
I have a question for you. In those situations where those kids are just, you know, in really bad, in a bad spot, but that kid you're saying about, he's in third grade, he has a bad situation at home, but you said he wants to learn. Is part of it because you, as that kid's teacher, you actually give him some encouragement that when he does well, you say good job, you don't just dismiss him?
No, you don't. And some other teachers and I have a great principal. And what happens, you know, when that kid is missing, her and the counselor goes to that home, you know. Knock on the door, bring that kid to school. You know, mother too lazy, father too lazy to bring that kid to school. Kids walking into school at 11 o'clock. So they had a disadvantage right off the bat from that household. It's not the government. It's not the neighbor. But it's that household. You know,
yeah,
we have to, you know,
awesome.
if it's bad, you got to tell that parent. You got to tell that mother or father you suck. You stink. You ain't no good. Right? You need to change your life for the better. Man, you can't keep pushing kids out, you know, on every 9 day a month, right? And our government right now, man, I'm tired of their asses just funneling money, you know. We have to have a level of responsibility.
Hey, MVP, you know one thing also? The government about to start making these cuts on these people who want to keep pumping out kids and thinking they just slide under. You know, and like, and BC, I don't know if you talked to, like, any older kids. It's like in a high school age. I know you did the military. I have, too. But it's like, now, I'm in for 10. I'm getting out. But I tell anyone, if you need something, get off your feet. Get on your feet a bit. Do that for 4 years and get your education about. You know, and that's still more constructive than a lot of these guys are doing now. But they say, well, I don't want to do that. But at the same time, like, what you're doing now, well, I want to hustle, do this and that. But I'm like, well, if that's what I feel like, that's what you want to do, that's the life you want, you go ahead and do it. Don't complain about the system because it's always a choice. And I feel like in life it's always a choice. And we talk about these kids in these schools. The money are in these schools. They have proper money in these schools. But like I always say before, you can have a brand new Ferrari, but it's filled with diesel fuel, it ain't going to run. So if you got crappy kids coming in on comfortable environment of education, you're stuck. And my last thing is this. You know BC talking about his people, he knew these degrees. Not once did he say they got a bachelor in sociology, a bachelor in psychology, not have a doctor in the front of it, or that political, ever so truck hard political science degree. These people got these hard sciences, got out and busted their ass, and got degrees that mean something out there. Hey, what do I know?
Can I interject for a second?
By all means.
Seriously, another thing that I'm disturbed about is the quality of the students in college these days. I am seriously like in awe that so many college students can barely read and can barely articulate and can't construct sentences properly. It's really disturbing. And I really can't believe that these could possibly be college students. Like, they read like they're fourth and fifth graders.
Well, where they came from? You have to find
Nico.
Out. They came from that elementary
home.
School, that high school, into college. And they're getting passes. Right now, you're sitting up here, have a young man, one of the best basketball players in the city, right? Can't read to save his life, okay? Guess where he's getting ready to end up? I see a lot of people fall through the crack like that. And what happened, the system, the whole system, and the whole this place is using our kids, right, for their benefit, right? College is as long as you can play ball and do the different things and bring money into it, they don't care. They don't care if you can read on a first grade level. What has happened, the parents don't know. Because they're dumb, deaf, and blind also.
I knew you were going to say dumb, deaf, and blind at some point. I was waiting for it.
Well, you mean high school, and you couldn't read on a fourth grade level, but you go into a class with 200, you know? It's not where the professors sit up there and have you at an individual individualized where you can come to him and do it. No, he just walk up in there, and most individuals sitting on this panel know. He just walk up in there, right, with a focus, boom, click on there on the smart board, did his little 45-minute presentation and leave. He can care less who's those 200 students looking at him. He can care less. He's just a
selection.
And we are not teaching that.
It's a lot worse than the home environment, BC. Sometimes it's not even that the parents are dumb, deaf, and blind. Sometimes those kids, they can read, they have the skills. They're just plain lazy. And it's that generation we call the millennials. You know, we had the baby boomers, we had Gen X, Gen Y. The millennials are that generation that, you know, finished school after 2000, 2001, you know. Those are the kids who... their whole time through middle school and high school were used to the fact that they would not put in hard work at school, that when the teacher did not give them the grade they want, they could have their parents bully the principal into changing their grades, and they carry on that attitude to college. This is one of the problems we have now. It's not, yeah, we got kids who need remedial classes, but we also have kids who are freaking lazy. When I was a teaching assistant at Villanova, I was a TA for bio majors as well as a non-majors, like upperclassmen level classes. You know what, this one guy, and I'm going to excuse my German, but this one little motherfucker, he never turned in a fucking lab report. I mean, and I would sometimes give people an extra few days to turn in their stuff, and people would still not turn them in, be it bio majors or non-majors. And I got a reputation as being the toughest TA because I would grade hard, but I was being fair.
Damn,
some students, college students, smart, and they were just too freaking lazy. So that's a problem. And by the way, Leon, I see you there. I'm going to open up your line because I know you're chomping at the bit. You've been listening for a while. What do you have to say about those knucklehead millennial students who in college will not turn in their homework on time, even if you give a two-day extension?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I mean, from my own experience, like when I was in college too, there were actually some individuals where, just like you said, like, you actually had professors or even TAs that would even give them extra time. And it's like, okay, look, you got cut a break. You know how rare that is, especially if you're talking about a professor that'll give you like an extra few days, hell, even a week, and you still don't turn it in? It's like, come on, you can't blame anyone else other than yourself. At that point, if you don't jump at that opportunity, that's your fault. And yet these are the same individuals that, you know, when they decide, like, oh, okay, school's too hard for me, and then things don't work out, then they want to blame everyone else except themselves.
Huh. I know. And especially if you're paying $40,000 a year, why would you not take advantage of the fact that your professors have office hours? Some professors will tell you, contact me, we'll make time to help you go over stuff. And as Grown Game put in the chat room, some teachers will improve student improve their grades if you meet with them for tutoring. And your TAs, like when I was a TA, we had office hours. We had office for people to come to see
us.
I had one student who would show up, but he was a non-traditional, so he was an older guy. He was an older student. He would, when he struggled with some things, he would set up a time with me. We would go over the lesson and stuff. Most students didn't even bother.
Yes,
you know
that's
what,
right. Yeah. And the same thing with me. I'm an English assistant, and, I meet, some of them will meet with me, but then they expect me to cut them a break. I'm not. I'm actually harder than the professor is. So.
Hey, Miko, you know what Grown Game said for you to tell them? Grown Game said for you to tell your students, if you got time to go to the club, You dang sure I've had to meet your instructions for tutoring.
You know what, though? I want to say what Miko was saying about the old hustle thing. I had to go, to college I go to. Didn't realize this. Mm-hmm. I already aced the two English classes I already had. Now I only have to take a third one, which is like how many damn English classes I got to take for an HR degree. But we got to take a writer competency test, even though I already aced the two English classes with A's. And I got paid $25 for that one. So I'm like, it's getting your money off of it. You know, I already ate these classes. Why do I need to even take the test? Even more and more so, even pay for the damn thing if I already ate these classes. It's a hustle.
I was highly upset that they made me take an English proficiency exam, and then the next semester they said it was no longer necessary, and I had to pay $150 for it.
And that's bullshit. Hey, Miko, you sound like you're like in the Hollywood tunnel or something. I hear some reverb.
He's in New York, man. What do you expect? It's all.
No, I'm actually in the hallway of my apartment building.
Oh, okay.
Loading in the groceries.
Hey, I heard Leon in the background.
Oh, okay, yeah. This is something that I wanted to ask the group. You might have saw the comment that I said in the chat room where I think today now more than ever, like especially if you're talking about like African Americans, that it's important to make sure that we know at least one other second language, because I think today now we're becoming more of a global community, and then when you go out into the job market, and this is even from my own experience, like my background is like public health, and there are times when I've gone for jobs and they said you must be fluent in, let's say for example, like Spanish or some other language,
mm-hmm.
and I think that by us not having that command of that second language, it's messing us up job wise. So I wanted to find out from the group, like, what do you think about that? Like, do you think that we need to, as a way of kind of like improving the mm-hmm. quality of the next generation, to put an emphasis on, you know, learning a second language?
Here's how I'm gonna do this, Leon. First of all, let me just make one point, and I'm gonna have everybody. I'm gonna call people out in order on the switchboard to answer that one. The only thing I gotta say is, how do you expect somebody to be able to learn another language to be proficient in it when they're not even proficient in English, which is their native language? And with that being said, chill. First up, what do you think of Leon's proposition that all Americans should at least learn a second language?
You ain't speaking your own language. I don't know. I mean, if it's something that you just really, really need to do that's going to put you in a better spot, then, hey, fuck it, go ahead and do it. But I'm not really tripping on learning another language, really. Just learning my own shit, really. Finding out about my own culture and all of that is what I'm into.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't even know how to speak English in the first place, which is...
Yeah, you right.
Well, that's a whole other show.
Yeah, I know. That is your catchphrase, man.
Hey, Sergeant Smithers, what about you? What say you about Leon's proposal there?
Proposition? You know, I live some time overseas, you know, and I know BC's on, he probably tested this as well. Those people overseas, a lot of them, they speak, especially like in the urban areas, they speak English, well, they native language, because they started from ground up. I'm talking from great kindergarten on up, they were being taught English, and not just how to say cat and dog. They're like, where I'm from, they'll throw Spanish or French or even Latin at you in 11th grade. But everybody, you know this, Don, you want those biology people here who work on people, do stem cell research, that they say it's easier to learn a foreign language when you're younger. So,
yeah.
So I feel like that if you're going to do it, you have to do it from the ground up first when they start school. Now, mind you, you might have to do it in some of these charter schools, these private schools, because, you know, the public school system and some of these schools you talk about, they have a hard time teaching English. So I think if you're going to do it, start from the ground up.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. Nico, what about you? What do you say, Nico?
Well, I think it would be good as far as for a lot of different degrees, because we will be interacting with many different international companies and whatnot to be able to speak the language. But on another note, it would be nice if foreigners would learn how to speak, you know, the English language as well, and not for it only to be fall on us.
Well, I'll answer this to you. Those who come in to school, you damn sure they know English. At least they know enough that they're proficient enough that they can learn their field. But, yeah, as far as people coming and immigrating, I think the government would be wiser to spend money on ESL classes than doing a whole bunch of forms in a whole bunch of different languages, because a lot of times those immigrants who come in, they may not even know how to read and write their own language, but that's a whole other show. BC, what do you say about Leon's proposition that all students should learn another language besides English in this country?
Well, I mean, I agree with T. Smitty. What happened, if you look at other countries, the emphasis is on their main language. Afterwards, it's English and other things for them to get along globally, right? And I think we need to also do that. But you have to be proficient in your own first. You know, that's my thing. You know, you can't go on and learn something else and you're not even proficient in your own. See, and that's what's happening to us. You know, we you know, in this country, and I noticed that you allow all kind of individuals to come in and get a foothold and change your whole rules, laws, and regulations. But you cannot go to another country and change theirs.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? You know, I couldn't go to Germany and tell them, you know what, the main language is English. I couldn't go to Italy. I can't go to Japan or whatever it is and tell them that. You understand? But
well,
everybody else that's come into the United States of America, right? And if they don't get their way, they go to the court system, you know? And this is the only country that I know that anybody can come in and change the whole rules and regulations of your laws, rules, and your whole constitution, basically, you know, to suit them and their benefit.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
my
know,
point,
but,
too.
But what has to happen, you have to learn yours first, and then you can branch off. And like T-Smith said, yeah, start early enough, right? So you can teach these kids, you know, either Spanish or whatever it is, right? Because
well,
just like
this is what happens when you don't make. If English was by law the official language of the United States, every other country in the damn world has an officially recognized state language. Why is it the United States doesn't? But that's a whole other show. We could talk about some other time.
But Don, one thing getting ready to happen, and I know it's getting ready to happen here in the school year 2013, right? What they just passed the law, right? That if you sit up here as a elementary school kid, and by the time you reach the third grade, if you cannot read on a third grade level, you will not proceed to the fourth grade and beyond. Okay.
So they're getting rid of No Child Left Behind?
Well, I don't know if there's no, man, all them children was left behind a long time ago.
By their parents.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You know, but that is what the law, that is what the state law has been wrestling with. And for me personally, parents need to wake up because it will hurt a lot of us and a lot of our kids. Yeah.
Tell me about it. By the way, Miss Computer Lady, are you still there? Because I know your line is still open. I wanted to get your opinion on Leon's proposition of every American student learning another language.
What's he calling that baby down?
She's here.
Well, this is my thought about it. Not that it wouldn't hurt, but at the same time, I would agree that if you're going to learn another language, you need to make sure you have mastered your own. Again, as it was said before, take Spanish for instance. I do know some Spanish, but I don't know if it's still done now. When I was taking Spanish, not only did you have to learn the words, how to pronounce them, and all of that, with some exercises you had to learn to conjugate and all of that. If you don't know how to do that in English, you're going to have a problem learning a second language. Because
can I ask
in order
you a question,
for you to...
computer lady?
What's that?
My question is, right,
mm-hmm.
who dictated that Spanish should be one of the second languages of the United States of America? Hell, you deal with the German, the Japanese, the French, with everybody else all over the world. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, and that's what I'm saying. People could come in here and set their laws, rules, and regulations, right? And we are not paying no mind, right? Because if just like we sitting up in here, we are so passive, we are so complacent. that everybody else can come right here and get a foothold. And with us as black folk in the United States of America, right, we just so complacent, man, we let it go. And then we start raising hell after the fact.
Well, for one thing, we're supposed to be, you know, this wonderful melting pot and all of that, number one. So not that we shouldn't be, but at the same time, you got to take a stand and make sure that the standards are upheld. Now, am I leaving out, you know, French and any other languages? No. I'm just saying that one thing you had said earlier, let me try to go to Japan. Let me try to go to France. Let me try to go to Australia or, you know, the subculture there. I can't tell them that, hey, I speak English, that's all you can speak. No way.
Tell you that.
Well, it's not going to happen. When many people, and I have seen this, and this was also said before, when they come here, either they know English better than we do, especially the standard, you know, standardized English, or they come and maybe not know any English, but in less than a year, if they are that, you know, hyped up in order to learn the language to survive, they will do it. I can tell you, and I can tell you from experience, in a situation where my mom was a principal, the English as a second language class had students from Vietnam. In less than 6 months, you wouldn't know that they didn't know how to speak English. I'm like,
not to toot my horn, but hey, when I when I first learned English, well, I was emigrating. I was stuck in New York. In a matter of 3 months, I think I was taking ESL classes and watching a lot of Darkwing Duck and the DuckTales. Yeah, within three months. Yeah, well, they won't have that kind of good stuff nowadays. They have crappy cartoons.
I'm glad you said that, because you see, the thing is, you have to understand how the system is on the other side of the world as opposed to here. On the other side of the world, your learning does not stop right in the classroom. Any and everything is going to be done to make sure you master whatever you learn, be it math, be it English, be it science, be it whatever. And the school day doesn't just go from, let's say, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Your learning is from the time you get up to the time you go to bed and beyond. And whatever activities need to be incorporated in order for you to learn and master whatever, that's what's going to be done. That is how it systematically is in some parts of the world.
You know,
and
what?
You're wondering why the education system here is at the level that it is as compared to the other side of the world. If you think about it, the education system here now is talked about, okay, we got to match up with the world because we're global, but our education is not up to par. There was a time it was quite up to par, and people were trying to follow the education system in the U.S., but it was also said earlier, we're lagging so far behind in a lot of things that we're laughing about.
You know what, Mr. Peter Lady? First. You know, BC still on. What they tell you first when you go get stationed in other countries, you better watch your step, because they don't play that. They will lock you up. And no one getting locked up, you don't know the language.
That's a mess.
Yeah, and you're talking about the education. See, we got a dumbed down culture. And I tell you, the easiest way to know how we dumb down is how we vote for our public officials. Because, you know, I've been overseas and stuff a couple times. I've been deployed a couple times like that. And those people is like, y'all vote for him, you know, and that's how they usually do it. See, we don't, it's like, and like I said, I've been over, those kids don't really get summer vacation. They may get, like, go to school a couple of months, be off a little bit, go a couple of months, 6 days a week,
that's
be off all the time. Yes,
that's
but
what
we
I'm
don't
saying.
Do that.
Right, we don't.
And our test scores are lagging behind because of that, too. in these standardized test scores, these other countries are kicking our asses. It's no coincidence that China, we owe them everything. The Middle Easterners coming over here running stuff, you know. They're look at these standardized test scores. They are killing us. I know when I was in high school, we had the exit exam. If you couldn't pass that, you couldn't graduate. They gave you a certificate for showing up. Mind you, I was in 11th grade when we gave our test. That test was on an 8th grade level, and there were still people that could not pass that test of three opportunities on an 8th grade level test in 11th grade. Ain't the white man fault. Hey, I'm sorry. Ain't the white man fault. I'm sorry. If you can't get an 8th grade level and you're 11th grade, that's your fault and your parents' fault.
Let's see what the anti-hero has to say about it. He's finally back on the air.
Oh, shit. Barry White over here. What up, Barry? Barry White over here.
This is a switchboard. I clicked the open mic thing and it's still not working. I swear, BTR is like pissing in my cereal today.
Hey, this is grown. Hey, lady, this is grown.
Hey, Rona.
Oh, my God.
Hey, lady, this
okay.
is grown.
Hey, Rona, well, can you hear us, man?
I can hear y'all.
All right, man. You got the floor, man.
Nah, I was catching the tail end of that, but I was looking to chime in a little bit. Which part were y'all discussing?
We call pimping hoes.
Oh, shut up, Smitty. Nah, we're talking about American students learning another language and the fact that education is lagging behind other developed nations.
Well, it is important to learn the other language. For some reason, we have this shoebox mentality when it comes to education. I never understood that whole thing. I mean, you got other countries who learn about, on an average, maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 languages that are more diverse. And here we are, worried about someone speaking our language. I mean, it's a lot of times we're just outright lazy in many areas that we don't need to, and that's why we're lagging behind right now.
But Don, I don't think it's yeah, we're lazy in that aspect. But the other countries, their main language, as I said, it's emphasized first, and then they branch off to everything else, right? And like everybody said, you know, you got to get ruined in the whole thing, not giving piecemeal, right? You know what happens is that we have to learn our language first. We have to teach, you know, perfection in our language because we need to branch off into another language. Because when you go to learn Spanish, right, you got a different style of Spanish when you go to Mexico compared to going to Spain.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, compared to Puerto Rico and so on and so forth. Yes, it's almost similar, right? But you know it's the same thing. You know how the main thing they teach you in English, right, is subject verb agreement, right? And you can't come out learning ebonics and all kind of garbage and expect to translate the same thing in Spanish or French or whatever it is. They're going to laugh at you.
They're more British over there, too.
Yeah, so you have to learn y'all's damn near to perfection before you go over to try to do somebody else's. But it's okay to do it. I'm not an advocate not to, because I think it, you know, even a little bit, how to get along, how to order stuff, right, how to buy things, you know. I mean, everybody want to go overseas to Europe, right, and get ripped off and wonder why you ripped off.
That's how it's going right there.
Did we lose? Did we lose him?
No, he's still
here. No, we're still here.
Okay, there you go. Okay. Real talk.
We got to get better, man. We got to get better in teaching all around. Right, because guess what? Like I say, in 2013, and I think a couple states gonna follow. When you sit up here and get a report card and say your kids cannot move on to the to the fourth grade because they can't read, and here you are, you know, you're 15 years old, still in the damn third grade. Something wrong, yeah?
And they ain't scared. But you know what, BC? They ain't scared of their parents. See, they ain't scared of failing. Cause I'll share a story of me real quick. When I was in 11th grade, I tried to be slick and cheat on my geometry test. Well, the teacher caught me. All right? So she was like, okay, who all you got answers from? So you try not to snitch. So I got it myself. She was like, okay, we're going to call your parents, then you're going to tell. I said, okay. I said, mom or dad, you should pick one. I said, well, my dad's totally out the equation on this. I'm not calling him. You know, said, okay. So I said, well, my mom worked to Tuskegee. That's like 30 miles up the road. So I was like, hey, So if I get, if I just be honest and tell you who did it, you won't call my parents. Say, yep. I said, huh, my mom and dad have to drive so many miles from work for me cheating. Man, I snitched everybody out who had them, man. But it's like a lot. But and I told my mom and dad that a couple years ago after it blew over so many years. See, they're like, yeah, they would have been pissed. But so many of these kids nowadays wouldn't care, and a lot of these parents wouldn't care. And I tell you, this would hit me. When I was at home on leave, they had a big, they had a fight at my old high school. And one of the old football coaches, the old RT instructor, was there when I was there. They pulled the kids off. They was fighting. And the mom and daddy trying to get mad at them. They trying to get no fire because they rustled the kid, pulling him off while he was fighting. This is why these kids are messed up, because of these damn parents. Now I use that term loosely. How the hell are you going to co-sign them doing wrong?
It goes on. You know, go to the school and stay one day. They come in, they want to beat up principals and everything else, man, knowing they're wrong. You know, we had an incident where this second grader stole somebody's shoes, right? And wore the shoes to school the next day. And so when they called the parents, the parents got mad. You know, defending the little kid. You know, we got a little kindergartner, you know, sitting up here said, you know, we asked them about the shoes that they were wearing. They said, oh, my mother stole those from Walmart. You know,
wow.
So, you know, we got parents out there condoning that nonsense, man. So, hey, it just, for me personally, it's hard, man. It's hard to be a mentor. It's hard to be a teacher, but somebody got to do it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody has to do it, you know, to help these youth, man. But like I said, it's 50% of them right now are failing miserably, and those are the individuals who are going to take out, you know, supposedly trying to come up to take our place.
Hey, we got Shonda on the line. Let me open the mic up because we have about 3 minutes left, so let me put her in before we go into overtime.
Can I tell Shonda something real quick?
Oh, go ahead. She's on the line. Talk to Shonda.
Shonda? Guess what? I put some of that world famous Kaneka sauce on the grill yesterday. Shout out to you, Alabama, right there. Are you there?
The line is open.
Can you hear me?
Am I reading? Okay, we hear you now, Shonda.
Okay, now y'all can hear me. Well, greetings, everybody. I hear a good show. I can't wait to check out the archives.
I feel I'm a linker.
I had to have a meeting with some foster parents on a Sunday. Ronan, no, but let me say this. I think, BC, you know, I agree with the majority of things you're saying and the kids, but let me say this, guys, too, because I don't know if Ronan told you guys. Ronan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, let me tell y'all, there was an incident, a little boy. I'm not going to call his name. 11 years old, I had to call Ronan. One stole a Wii, one stole a PlayStation 3 to go to jail with their daddy. Their daddy in jail. This is how much they meant for their father. That this boy got sense enough to know he's trying to commit a felony, thinking and praying he get tried as adult. So he go to jail. I said, but it's not necessarily mean that you're going to be tried as an adult. You could go to juvenile detention. But he wanted his daddy. He in so much pain. Ronan talked to him. And Ronan can tell you the way he acts, but I appreciate Ronan saying, Shonda, well, I can relate. He beat up the other kids in foster care. One of them got on the phone with Ronan. And the other little boy scared to tell that he beats him. He has bruises. And it's just sad. It breaks my heart. Like I said, we talk about this all the time. But like DC said, and I heard T. Smitty say it, these parents either need parenting class, and so redundant, or stop having kids. These kids, if they're ridiculous, when kids are going to steal, to try to go to jail to be with their other parents. Well, my mother don't care. And then the little boy got things for Christmas. He got a brand new iPod. The mama gave it to the boyfriend. The boyfriend tell him, this is what mama gave me. He said, Miss Shonda, I still got gifts I can't even open because my mom mad at me, but she gave it to her boyfriend. So this is why I'm late and couldn't do the show, because now I'm out with foster parents on a Sunday, my day off. because these mothers, and I don't want to keep saying it's the woman fault. I'm like, BC, it's the equal opportunity, but when you got some fathers trying, and some of these mothers are being low down, want the daddy money, but you sneak the men in and out the house, put them over your kids, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is somebody on speakerphone? Because the listeners said they hear a lot of echo.
No, I wasn't on the speaker. I apologize, you guys, if you guys couldn't hear me, I'm muted. But I just want to say I appreciate everybody on the line in the chat room. But Ronnie, you know, man, I appreciate you because I be telling him for him to be busy graphics and school and things like that, and I can call him and he take 5 or 10 minutes out. It means a lot. Some of these kids, like I said, who don't have a father, their uncle not there, or a big brother or anything. I just appreciate you guys.
Hey, we appreciate you too. By the way, people, we are officially in overtime. I don't know if you guys want to go the whole extra hour because there's a lot of time to talk. But Scala just came in and put up his hand. So let me open up his line. Well, first of all, let me find his theme music because
I gotta get him done. Hey, Don, play the Alabama music for us since we whooped the LSU ass Monday night.
Hey, hell no. I'm not going to do that because next thing you know, he's going to be cussing me out. But we got a solid 24-14. Shut up, T-Smitty. What? Yo, just when things seem the same. When pain is lame, I come in rain with the unexplained. For the brains to think change, they strain a sling. I'm trained to bring game. It's the read that I arranged, been regained by King James. And this goddamn Roll Tide.
How about no sense, though?
I couldn't give a damn about Alabama and LSU because I didn't go to none of them damn school. So I really couldn't care. If this was football, I mean, NFL, shit. Then we can talk about, you know, the Saints losing or something like that. You can get you can talk your shit all you want to.
Boy, now
but I'm
still
proud
too,
of the goddamn Saints, so it don't matter to me because that was a hell of a good-ass game.
Boy,
all
right, boys.
Remember, we're talking about education to kids, not football, not football. And Roman's call dropped again, thanks to Boost Mobile, but let's hope he calls me. I can patch him through. But what you got to say, Scholar, I know you've been listening for a long while now.
I sort of been listening because, you know, I've been dozing in and out. I'm still sleepy. But,
I mean, education is key. I mean, it's very important, you know. But there's so much, you know, one can do when it comes to that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's very important, you know what I'm saying, that you learn, you know, that you get that. But at the same time, you also got to get the education, but you also got to get the wisdom, you know, because even the Bible says knowledge and wisdom go, you know, hand in hand. You know, you can't have one without the other. You know, you got a lot of motherfuckers that that go get educations, but they don't have no fucking wisdom. Not only that, shit, if you were a goddamn school nerd like I was, you will realize that the motherfuckers with PhDs or what ever that had all these educations had some of the lowest motherfucking morals you ever seen in your motherfucking life. It was like, really, motherfucker? Yeah, you want to inspire kids, do this and that, but yet you yourself don't have the motherfucking morals and standards? Get the fuck out of here, you fucking hypocrite. Fuck out my face. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you live this shit, you know what I'm saying? That's why, you know, I'd be like, man, I ain't new to this. I'm true to this shit. You know what I'm saying? I live this motherfucking life for me. I stay true to what the fuck I stand for and my values. But how am I going to let some PhD tell me what the fuck to read, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, and that's all he's telling me to do. He's not challenging my mind, or he's not challenging, you know, me to think on my own, or asking me, what do you think, what do you say about this matter, or whatever. No, he's just saying, read this, write a paper on that, quiz tomorrow, test about this, at the end of the semester, bam, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was hearing everybody talking about corruption. I knew, in my own personal experience, I knew about the corruption because I would talk to teachers about this stuff.
They would come to me and tell me what was going on in my own goddamn school because I hung around motherfucking teachers. You know, I sat in the office. And shoot, they thought the world of me, so they let me know what the hell was going on. So that's why I say, you know, you pay attention to a lot of shit and you see, you know, the morals and standards of some of these people in academia and whatnot, you be like, man, get the fuck out of my face. You be like, man, you just hypocrites. Hypocrites and fucking eggheads. You know what I'm saying? None of y'all really got any knowledge or worth. You know? Some of them don't even do shit. You know what I'm saying? They're not publishing authors. And even if they did publish something, their work is probably bullshit. Or their findings is bullshit. You know what I'm saying? But yet they're praised as fucking good professors and shit. Get the fuck out of here, man. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck
tell
are
you
really
doing? Feel, man.
I'm just, look, we talking about education and whatnot. I'm going to give motherfuckers a motherfucking lowdown on the shit. Because, you know, I believe in education. Shoot, I be on this motherfucking show, you know, to educate motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? And to get some more education my goddamn self. But I ain't about to lie to motherfuckers say, yeah, go to college, get an education. Get the fuck out of here. You can get education anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And make it work for you. You know what I'm saying? Because college, there's a standard, okay? With any major, there's a standard. You got to do this class, this class, this class, this class, just to get a motherfucking piece of paper. That doesn't mean that you're going to really be, you know, that you're going to have a brain for your fucking self. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be honest with you. You know what I'm saying? You can still be a motherfucking follower and still have a bunch of motherfucking education. That's why when motherfuckers say, oh, I went to this place or that place, and, you know, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. I couldn't give a fuck. I couldn't care. You're nothing.
Okay,
hey, you
wait,
see
scholar.
How he's speaking, he's like, you're a goddamn egghead. Get the fuck out of here.
Scholar,
you don't
now,
brain for
I guess
yourself.
You're talking about people who just regurgitate facts and stuff, but, I
it's
mean,
not
okay,
just about
regurgitating
facts.
Between knowing
it's
how to learn
has,
and...
It's not about regurgitating facts. It's all about having logical, critical thinking skills, being able to think for yourself, being able to speak for yourself, you know what I'm saying, not seeming like an average motherfucker, okay, even if you went to college, you know, even if you got a PhD, you know what I'm saying? Like,
If you want to learn to think for yourself, shouldn't parents teach that? Shouldn't parents teach their kids how to think critically?
Anybody can teach that. Your parents just don't have to teach you that. Shoot, anybody can teach you that. Because everybody's in the position to teach, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, but,
anybody's in the position
okay, let me
to
rephrase
teach.
It. Let me rephrase it then. Is it not? Shouldn't the parents be the first ones to teach their kids about critical thinking? You know, before
because
you put it on the school system and everything, shouldn't the parents be the first ones?
Because they birthed that child and they are the first teachers of that child, yeah, they should be the ones to plant that damn seed. You know, I'm not excluding them from their damn job. They should be the ones to plant that damn seed. At the same time, shoot, they can't teach what they don't know. You know what I'm saying? You know, they can't teach what they don't know. They can only teach what they do know. And what do we see that they do know? Shit, they know how to, shit, probably, you know, get this money, hustle, you know what I'm saying, spit to know-nothing bitches and get a bunch of kids. I mean, really. That's what they know. So that's what they teach. They teach kids what they know. But if you don't know how to speak for yourself, how can you teach that to somebody else? You know what I'm saying? But you can plant that seed. If you don't want, like, you know, if you don't want your kids to be like you or go through those mistakes, you can plant that seed and say, hey, learn how to speak for yourself or do, you know, or have a mind for yourself. Don't be like me. You know what I'm saying? That's being honest with yourself. That's being honest with your kids. That's the way I see it, at least. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, shoot, I realize that, you know, I'm in a position to teach anybody, even when I have kids. So I challenge anybody to think for their fucking self. Not the way I teach them how to think. You know what I'm saying? Don't go about what the fuck scholars say, because I could be motherfucking wrong. You know what I'm saying? I could be wrong. I could be going to hell. Shit. Don't be following me. But I will tell you, follow the truth and follow the logic. I mean, that's something that fucking doesn't lie. You know what I'm saying? The truth don't lie. So follow the truth, follow the logic, you know what I'm saying? And use your own judgment, your own thinking. You know what I'm saying? You know. I mean, shoot, a lot of people quote books and whatnot, but what the fuck do you say? You know what I'm saying? What do you find logic on whatnot? I read a lot of books, but at the same time, I think about what the fuck I read. No, I think about what the author says. Now I think about what the fuck I want to say about this topic or how it pertains to me. You know what I'm saying? College sort of can't teach you that unless that seed is planted by the professor. And shit, you don't meet a lot of professors that do that shit because they don't give a fuck. Shit, I had professors tell me that shit. Professors do not give a fuck. They are ready to get your ass out this class quicker than you are, okay? Even if it's a fucking hour. They don't want to be there. You know what I'm saying? So they don't care. For some professors, it's all about a motherfucking paycheck. You know what I'm saying? That's why you see a lot of corruption in fucking schools, as Miko say. Because in my school shit, I knew there was corruption. We all did. We all knew that motherfuckers was taking money or this was happening or that was happening. That's why we was left without. You know what I'm saying? But like I say, you know, it's you have to follow logic and open your motherfucking eyes. You know, get an education. Read. Read a lot. You know what I'm saying? Shit.
Scholar, I got to ask the same question I asked earlier.
Okay.
Scholar, the same question I asked at the very beginning when it was just me, Chill, Miss Computer Lady, and Double Up. How do you incentivize for the kids to put forth that effort to learn? How do you get the kids to be inspired to do well, to put as much effort into getting the grades, into learning the material as they do into throwing that 100-yard pass or doing that jump shot or that slam dunk?
Well, shit, you do it by, one, not relying on somebody fucking else to do it for you. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what a lot of motherfucking parents do. That's why they send their kids off to school. You know what I'm saying? You have to make it your responsibility, you know, to do it along with your child. Do, you know, help them with their fucking homework. You know, ask them questions about what the fuck they are really doing in motherfucking school. Because, let's be honest, a lot of motherfucking parents don't know what the fuck is going on in these goddamn schools. That's why these kids be getting fucked by their teachers or whatever, because we are not being fucking parents. I mean, really. You know what I'm saying? So you do it by also setting the example. You know, by showing, you know, your kids that they can do it because you can do it. You know what I'm saying? Shit, I had problems with motherfucking math. Shit, the person that helped me excel in that shit was my damn daddy. And he did that shit by fucking putting in extra work with me. Shit, that motherfucker worked nights. You know, working the fucking night shifts. You know, so what, he would take some time off from his work to do math problems for me to do the next day. Shoot. So, I mean, you have to set that example. You have to be that example. You know, you have to be that role model in your kid's life. You know, you have to challenge them by challenging yourself. You know what I'm saying? You know, you have to show them, you know, shit, if dad can do it or if mom can do it, shit, I can do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not that fucking hard. It's not like, okay, if I do this, you know, you don't barter with them. You know what I'm saying? Don't barter with your kids. Okay, you do your homework, do this, I'll buy you this. Fuck that. What the fuck they going to do with a goddamn Xbox? Anybody can buy a fucking Xbox. Shit. That's not going to really
barter with
me.
Hey, here's a way you can barter with them. If you don't do your stuff, you get an ass whooping. Here's a belt. That's bartering.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Or let them know, you know what I'm saying? One thing that was let known all, for me most of my goddamn life, you know what I'm saying, was you don't have to do nothing but go to school and get good grades. It's that motherfucking simple. At that younger stage in your life. That's all the fuck you have to do. Everything else is just fucking simple. Shit, you can do whatever the hell you want to. Shit, you can play Xbox, or, you know, go outside or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But you really have to challenge your kids, probably at a young age, so they have critical thinking skills. Because you can't rely on teachers to do that shit. Because, shit, when I was in school, shit, the teacher all, shit, a lot of my teachers skipped the goddamn critical thinking questions at the back of the chapter. They said, do this, but skip the critical thinking skills, which is very important for a person to live an everyday life. You have to have critical thinking skills. You have to, shit, that is needed for everyday fucking survival. You know what I'm saying? So it's very important that kids learn that, you know, even if you are in college. Shit, still learn
hey,
that
hold
on
scholar.
An advanced level.
We got somebody who's been holding on a block caller. They just put their hand up. Something you said with the head must have resonated. Block caller, your line is open. Who is this, and what do you have to say on what scholar's been saying right now?
No, hi, John. This is Mr. Solution. No, I'm not going to comment
hey,
on
Richard from Los Angeles.
He's Richard. Yeah, hey, what's happening? No, you know, the foundation is the family, and that is where you're going to have to place the emphasis. But what I would like to do you have an email address that you are willing to share and that you will respond to? And if so, recite it, and I would just like
sure.
to...
Are you in the chat room by any chance?
No.
Oh, no, you're not. Well, hey, Don Calypso, just like the name is spelled, at yahoo.com. People are listening, and people trying to spam me, it's not going to happen, but go ahead, Richard. Don Calypso at yahoo.com. That's how, if you want to reach me.
Okay, that's cool. Hey, great show. You guys carry on. Thank you.
And I'll tell you what, do you have anything else you want to add as far as since you are Mr. Solutions, and we're asking for a solution for the lack of achievement with the kids, the lack of critical thinking and all that, what other solutions do you have to offer, man?
Well, no, that's what I said, and I'm going to send you the information. It's short, just an email. But it's the family. It's where you have what you guys haven't discussed is you have for the kids that are succeeding, you have a greater ratio of two-parent committed households. That's the answer right there. That's it. I mean, we can look in all these other areas, but that's it. You've got to have two committed parents. Where you have this huge number of single parent households, that won't work because the kids have no respect for that one parent, usually the mother. But that has to be seriously reduced and or eliminated.
Yeah, I can feel you on that. But is that going to be enough? Because you can have two parents, but again, if the two parents are not involved in the child's life, they're more involved, let's say, you know, in their job. Because from what I understand, even in places where you have black families, intact families, mother, father, child, you know, upper middle class, from what I understand, I could be wrong, but it seems like in many cases, those parents, they don't get on their kid as much as far as doing homework. So the child ends up not doing as well as their white counterparts, even if they go to the same school, same social standing, because the parents may spend more time working to buy the fancy car and the big house as opposed to making sure that the kid does their homework.
Well,
what do you say about
always...
that?
Go ahead. Did you finish?
Yeah.
We can always point to the exception rather than the rule. And you seem like a pretty knowledgeable man with reference to practicality and percentages and this kind of thing. You can find dysfunction in any area. But what we're talking about is where the overwhelming majority of it exists. And if you just take a simple look at the charter schools, I work with the school system. If you look at the charter schools, if you look at the private schools, these problems virtually are non-existent. Would you agree?
I actually wouldn't know so well because not being a parent and not yet being in a position to pay close attention, that, I'll be honest, I'm totally ignorant on that.
Well, all one has to do is just talk with the people that work in those environments. You don't necessarily have to put in 8 hours there every day. But I'm telling you, those problems are virtually non-existent. The kids don't do all the distracting. They're there to learn. And usually kids that attend those schools are supported by both parents. So there is a – and also, if you look at the so-called black elite, and I really encourage you guys to do that, you know, you find much less dysfunction within their ranks. In other words, what's called the talented tenth. And you see that these problems that exist in the general black population are very much reduced within that sector's population. The elite blacks, you can type it into StartPage, StartPage.com, and just peruse that for a moment. Check it out and see what you think.
All right, well, that's something I'll definitely look into.
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, great show, and I'll, you know, just listen in, but I'll shoot you an email, and we can look at some of the actual material. All right, have a good day. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, man. Hey, Scott, are you still there, man?
Yeah, man, I'm here. Damn.
So, I understand you, you sound like you're, as far as the mess with the parents not doing their job and stuff, and teachers not caring, all that stuff. I know it's very frustrating. Hopefully your blood pressure didn't go up too high.
Hell no, my blood pressure ain't going too high. I let that shit affect me. Well, fuck that shit.
Well, I'll be honest. It does affect me to some degree, because when I see all the stupidity, you know, with the people not just not taking that stuff seriously, it does irk me, because it bothers me that people will celebrate whoever goes to jail, the criminal activities, but they'll diss whoever is actually focused on doing well in school.
Well, see, Don, it's like this. That's what happens when you come, when you live in a sick, insane, degenerate fucking society. You know what I'm saying? Everything is fucking chaotic and ass fucking backwards. You know what I'm saying? Well, you have shit like that. Well, you know, the person that was the criminal or whatever that did bad is good, and the person that does good is bad. It's fucking backwards. You know what I'm saying? You can get rewarded for being a dishonest motherfucking person. You know what I'm saying? That's no society to really fucking live in. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, it does affect me. You know, I'm not saying that it don't, but you know, I try not to let it just get to that point where I'm just all angry and whatnot, because there's work that needs to be done. You know what I'm saying? Like in motherfucking, I used to always, you know, watch at the time fucking CSI Miami. And one thing dude always said is, we never close. So you have to take that mentality. It was like, man, shoot, you got motherfucking forces that work 24 hours a day. You know, they never close. The FBI never close. Shit, police stations never fucking close. So you have to take that mentality. You know what I'm saying? You have to have that kind of drive or whatever, you know, to never close on getting knowledge or getting wisdom or upholding your value system. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know Richard was talking about the black elite and whatnot, and me personally, I'm like, man, fuck them motherfuckers. Fuck the damn talent and tell. They were supposed to do shit for us fucking 80 fucking years ago. And the motherfuckers didn't make back on what the boy said would help all of us. So fuck them. They look down upon us common folk, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, we probably country, and they probably see us backwards. And really, to me, fucking the black fucking elite just promotes the fucking white agenda. Not all of them, but shit, a lot of them fucking do shit. They will promote the fucking white agenda and act like we're the real African Americans.
them niggers over there, they're not really black, you know. Like, get the fuck out of here. I don't pay attention to them. You know what I'm saying? And you can't.
Tell
you
us
can't
how you really feel, man.
It's not about me telling, you know, being like that. But, you know, you have to, it's like this. I'm about to separate, you know, myself by the have and have not. You know what I'm saying? Because, shit, when you black, whether you have or you have not, shit, y'all both in the same goddamn situation once it comes down to it. You know, whether you got money or whether you don't. Because, shit, if the hammer was to come down on all of us, it's going to come down on the have and the have not. You know what I'm saying? Like I said one time, good Indians, bad Indians. All y'all motherfuckers going to jail. All y'all getting put on the reservation. Because that's what the fuck happened. It wasn't just the good Indians that fought with the goddamn, you know, Union Army and shit. That, you know, or the bad Indians that rebelled and wanted their land and shit. The good Indians got locked up. If you look at the goddamn Apaches, the good Apaches that fought with the army, shit, they got sent to the goddamn prisons in goddamn Florida, too. So it was like, shit, it didn't matter if you were good or bad. Y'all all getting locked up. Shit, the Sioux, everybody that operated, they still got locked up on the reservation. So I understand sometimes when Paul Mooney says, you know, y'all need to talk to the Indians because the Indians know, and he's fucking right. We know, but they know. You know what I'm saying? So you have to look at that. You know what I'm saying? You can't look at it as like, okay, like I know Double Up sometimes say, we need to leave these niggas alone, man. Leave these niggas alone. We need to rely on the middle class and the black elite. That's a small minority when you have the layman folk, you know what I'm saying, and the majority. And what I paid attention to a long time ago, you know, the greatest organization that black folk had, the UNIA, wasn't really backed by the black elite or the middle class. It was by the black workers, you know, the seamstresses, the porters, and all of that. If they helped back the movement with their motherfucking money, it wasn't the black elite. Shit, the black elite was trying to stop the goddamn movement. Shit. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna say I'm gonna quit messing with these niggas over here or whatnot, you know, because I'm not better than nobody, you know what I'm saying? Because, as Ronan said, I have a propensity to do good and evil, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not about to act like I'm better than this person or that person, but what I will say is I'm above motherfucking mediocrity. You got a lot of mediocre-ass motherfuckers that's still on that goddamn level, and I will fucking proclaim with confidence I am above that shit. Going through them teeny box, sweat boxes, hole in the wall, juke joint ass clubs, where bitches act like they the shit, you know. I'm above all that. I'm above standing on the corner, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. Someday. Someday. You see? No, I'm just playing. But I'm above that. You know, so I don't do that shit no more. You know, when you become an adult, you know, a real responsible adult, you put away that childish shit. So it's like, you know, it's for the birds. You know what I'm saying? You know, you carry yourself as a good human being or whatever. Shit, you don't need to, you know, look down upon anybody. You know what I'm saying? Or be like, okay, we need to do this. When we all really need to work together because we all have a common enemy, a common agenda, and a common goal. If we will focus on that shit instead of worried about what the fuck the differences are, shit, we'd be cool. That's why sometimes you have a lot of motherfuckers betraying, you know, great people because they forget that they have a common enemy, a common goal, a common agenda, and a common problem. They think about themselves or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I watched the movie Goddamn Lumumba, you know, that was on HBO. Shit, Lumumba was a bad motherfucker. He was talking about unity. But what? You had motherfuckers hating and whatnot, trying to kill him and whatnot, when they didn't see the fucking goal. You know, the agenda. The agenda was to get the fuck out of European colonialism, to run shit ourselves. Nobody could see see past their own fucking ego. To see the common agenda and the common goal and the common problem. So, you know, that's where solutions come in. You know, we talk about what's the common problem that we have in this country. What's the common goal? What's the common agenda? You know what I'm saying? I don't care if you're a Muslim, Christian, whatever the fuck. I would keep my religion. That's another problem. People make they sales bigger than what they are, and then they don't put some shit in the closet, you know, but bring it out. When you have a problem like this, your religion, your gender, your sexuality, whatever the fuck, don't even need to be in this shit. You know what I'm saying? Not in this type of problem. What I like about motherfucker James Baldwin, even though he's a homosexual, I've never heard him speak about his homosexuality as being a problem. He spoke for black folks and what was the problem, you know, in our society. He never brought up his sexuality, at least not in the goddamn, you know, interviews I saw, you know, but he never brought that up. He may have brought it up in his books, which I don't give a fuck about, but he never brought that up when he came to the common problem or the common motherfucking goal. So it was like, why? Why be a fucking egotist when it's too deep in the motherfucking game for you to be like that? You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. Check your motherfucking ego so we can deal with this motherfucking problem. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem with probably why, you know, black men and black women can't get together, because it's all about fucking ego tripping. You know, when you don't want to, you know, basically come to agreement, come to the table to actually talk out your problems like fucking adults, because you want to have a fucking, you know, ego boost, you know, and act like you motherfucking Super Saiyan Goku or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Get the fuck out of here.
Well, people definitely get that ego boost when they do well as far as sports, you know. You can do that touchdown, you get the ego boost. You know, you can throw that, you know, kick that soccer ball, bat that baseball out of the park. How do we give the kids that ego boost to reward them for actually doing well in school?
Well, see, to...
You know,
I'm going to
keep going
that,
back on that subject, because that's the thing that... That's
yeah, that's not a problem.
Well, the
see,
fact that we
do
don't,
it,
we don't celebrate achievement.
Well, see, you do it by letting them know. You know what I'm saying? You quit looking at motherfucking... Sometimes you have to stop looking at what the bad somebody do and look at their good and acknowledge them for it. That's what I say. It's ass backwards. You know, where you reward motherfuckers that do bad, and you don't acknowledge the motherfuckers that do good. So it's like you have to really pay attention to your kids and be like, look, you did a good job getting them straight A's. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you getting them straight A's. And that's when you do for your kids. You know what I'm saying? That's when you really show them your appreciation. You know what I'm saying? I remember how motherfuckers used to tell me I was so goddamn spoiled in my life. I'm like, shit, no, the fuck I won. Shit, I earned everything I fucking got. Shit, motherfucker, you didn't get them goddamn, you weren't on the honor roll every goddamn quarter. Shit, you didn't have to do this or do that. Shit, I was just doing what I was told to do. You know what I'm saying? Shit, so why the fuck is you tripping? You know, so that's what you have to do. You have to show them your appreciation. And sometimes you have to give them a token of appreciation. You know what I'm saying? Then they feel good about themselves. You know, they feel like, you know, they're not the black sheep. You know, because, shit, kids that do good, when they see a lot of people do bad shit, you really have to tip your hat off to them, because it's easy to fucking sell dope, you know, fuck a bunch of niggas, you know what I'm saying, join the gang. You know, it's easy to do bad. It's hard to do motherfucking good. It's hard to walk the straight and narrow path. That's why you don't see a lot of motherfuckers doing it, because it's hard as hell, and they don't have the goddamn, you know, as you say, the testicular or very important to really keep their values and morals in check to rock that damn path, because they don't want to deal with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you have to give credit what credit is due. And you have to show them that you love them and that you appreciate what the hell they do. You know what I'm saying? So it's important. You know what I'm saying? it's damn important that you make that know. You know what I'm saying? Don't do it also as an ego boost to you, like you're such a good parent. Like you're bragging on your kids and shit because they get your, my kid, you know, just to get up on somebody else. I don't like when parents do that to them. That's their damn selves. You know, they got a good kid and then they want to brag to somebody else like, my kid's better than yours. Get the fuck out of here.
Oh, well, we are going to Harvard Medical School. No, your
exactly.
child is the hard worker. Got to Harvard, not you.
Exactly. Get the hell out of here. Fuck that shit. Shit, you should be blessed that your kid in this society is not dropping out, don't got no out-of-way like babies. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you should be really appreciating that shit, especially when most of their peers do. And you know that, shit, peer pressure is a bitch and can influence a lot of bad stuff. Shit, you gotta give credit to them kids that have their own mindset and basically, you know.
Hey, remember what Shonda said? Shonda said when her daughter graduated from school, she said she was in tears and happy because her daughter finished school without having been pregnant, without having dropped out. And it's kind of sad that, you know, this is what we got to rejoice about. Not that they actually did very well and they got a full ride scholarship to college where you don't have to spend a dime.
Yeah, you gotta worry about that. Oh, your kid never been, you know, never going to jail. You know what I'm saying? Or something like that. You know what I'm saying? No person should really have to be bothered with that. But yeah, in this society, you fucking do. So it's like I said, you gotta give credit where credit is due. You gotta really pay attention to your kid. You know what I'm saying? You have to really be involved in their life. You know what I'm saying? Shit, you work too motherfucking hard. Shit, it's gonna show. You know, with your kid, that shit, you care about this money more than you do me, motherfucker, and you had me, and I'm a part of you. That money ain't a part of you. You make it, but shit, it ain't a part of you like I am. They don't have that connection, you know what I'm saying, which can motherfucking hurt, especially when you have, you know, your parents, you know, place other trivial shit above yourself. And they're supposed to love you. That's why I don't believe everybody should be a goddamn parent. But yeah, that shit hurts like a motherfucker. But you know,
yeah, I agree.
You know, like I say, you know, saying you can get education anywhere. You know, what I'm saying go to the library. That's a fucking good start. Just go. A lot of black kids don't go to the motherfucking library. Shit,
but I agree with the library, but how are you going to have them go to the library and gather knowledge if they don't even know how to read in the first place? I mean, they have to learn some basics how to read and acquire information.
This is the thing, Don. This is also the thing, though. You know what I'm saying? At the same goddamn time, you can only do so much. You can only teach them so much. Some things they got to learn from themselves. Shit, if I put it like this, if our ancestors could teach themselves how to motherfucking read, I mean, really? Shit, why can't I? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, we all need help. Nobody's independent. You know what I'm saying? Yes, you have to make sure your kid knows how to fucking read. That comes with being a parent. You know what I'm saying? That's very important. You know, you just can't ask how school was, and then they say, oh, school was fine. You know what I'm saying? No, you have to dig in deep. You have to really pay attention to see if they can read. You know what I'm saying? Instead of paying all this tuition and then don't know, you know, what progress your kid is having, and you paying all this money. You know what I'm saying? That could piss a parent off, especially if they went to college. You know what I'm saying? You know, you paying all this goddamn tuition for this kid, and then they fuck around or they have a out of wedlock baby. Or
excuse me, interrupting, but I'm going to have to go, but y'all take care.
Okay.
All right, computer lady.
All right.
All right. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? They ain't doing what you sent them to school for. They busy partying and drinking and shit, but forgot what the fuck they were there for. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, you lose out on a lot of money because they want to act a goddamn fool. So you have to make sure that, you know, your kids are doing their job. You know what I'm saying? But
well,
you have to
say
that.
My wife always says that not everybody was made to go to college. Like, some people shouldn't go to college.
Not everybody was made to go to college.
My experience is when I went to college, you had a lot of kids. That dorm, I wasn't a dorm that was an aggregate of immaturity. You had a whole bunch of kids. It's like taking a whole bunch of dogs that's been in a cage with a collar all their lives, and you let them loose. They had no idea what the hell to do. Like,
yeah,
the kind of stupidity they would do. They would put, like, just for fun, put a bag of popcorn in the microwave for 10 minutes, let it catch on fire, and the fire alarm goes off in the middle of the night during finals week, you know? Taking a cigarette, lighting it, and then sticking it into fire, a smoke detector, you know?
Doing dumb shit because they never been used to having that kind of freedom or being on their fucking own. So they think, since my parents ain't here, I can wild the fuck out. You know? It's crazy, you know. It don't make no sense, but yeah, that's what they do because they're not taught to be responsible. Not only that, you can teach your kids all that you want, but if they don't make the choice themselves, that's another thing. You can teach a motherfucker how to read, but they have to make that choice within themselves. Otherwise, your work is for bullshit. You know, you're wasting your goddamn time. You know, we can talk about, you know, how do we get these kids to do this, this, this? But we forget that it's their fucking choice. You know what I'm saying? It's their fucking choice. We can't make the choices for them. They have to do it their damn selves. You know what I'm saying? I went to college because that's what the fuck I wanted to do. Okay? You know what I'm saying? That's what I wanted to do. You know what
same
I'm saying?
Here.
People told me to go to college. At the same time, that's the decision I fucking made. I made for myself. I chose where I wanted to go to college. I
like T-City says, don't just tell them go to college. You got to tell them go to college if you want to study such and such. And to go back to what Double X said before he came on the line, like he said he's an electrician. He did not go to college, but he works for himself. And a lot of times, if you learn a trade, there are schools where you can learn a trade without having to go to college and have an $80,000 student loan debt, first of all. Second of all, once you get your training and stuff, and you get your certified, whatever, your certificate, diploma from the technical school, you can always go back to a community college. Only get the classes you need for some business classes specifically, so you can better learn how to manage your own business. Without having to take a whole bunch of English and basket weaving classes that, you know, literature classes you're not going to need. There's always an option. I mean, so in that sense, yeah, there's a lot of ways education can come about.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways education can come about.
But even at this point, even if you're not going to send a kid to college, okay, even if a kid knows they don't want to go through all that, they want to learn to be a carpenter, whatever, the fact of the matter is, you want to be a carpenter, you want to be a plumber, electrician, you're still going to need to learn some mathematics, geometry. You're still going to have to work hard, get those good grades, because those habits you develop in high school, you're still going to have to develop those same habits to learn to apply yourself for your trade.
Yeah,
so it goes back to my initial question, how do you encourage them?
At the same time, you're never going to really be a carpenter or whatever if you don't see one. So that also comes into times when you as a parent, if you know that your kid wants to, you know, go that route, that you introduce them to, you know, people that, you know, basically is in that field they want to go into. You know, you can do that for your kid. You know what I'm saying? You can network or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Shit, we got a bunch of friends. You know what I'm saying? We can do that for our kids.
That's something that was discussed earlier. That's something that was discussed earlier before it came on the line, as far as find whatever field that, you know, if you're interested in, find people who are in that field, kind of follow up, see what they do and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So,
but again, we still got to encourage them. We still got to cultivate that work ethic. And this is the thing I always say, how do you cultivate that work ethic?
How do you go? You teach them that work ethic. You teach them that work ethic by showing it yourself. Don't just say, do this, do that. Actually, show it because you're doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? That comes with the one of the first rules in leadership. You never ask somebody to do something that you're not prepared to do your damn self. You know what I'm saying? Shit. You know, I'm doing this and motherfucker, you ain't doing this, what the, you know, that causes friction, that causes a problem. So you never ask somebody to do something that you're not prepared to do yourself. But if I see you doing the same thing I'm doing, shoot, you know what I'm saying? That's where mutual respect comes in. That's where I'm like, okay, I know I can do it because my dad has done it for me, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. You know, he has a kind of work ethic, and it works for him, you know what I'm saying? That's the type of person, personal values that he wanted me to have because he had them in himself. You know what I'm saying? He exemplified that, you know, or having honor and integrity. You know what I'm saying? Not faking that shit.
I agree with you. I think I've given that example ad nauseum as far as with my grandfather. He didn't teach me directly because that was back when he was a school kid, but he... you know, he was too poor to afford books, so he would hand copy books from friends in order to be able to study to do what I had to do to go to school. You know, he went from being a peasant up in the mountains in northwestern Haiti to having his own business, sending all of his kids to school. You know, doing it all legit, and you know he passed on that hard work ethics to his children, which they passed on to their grandchildren.
Yeah, I mean, shit, motherfucker used to be like, man, you need a car. You need a car for this, and that. I used to be like, man, if my goddamn father, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers can walk fucking 50 miles to some motherfucking places, why the fuck can't I do that shit? My legs ain't hurting. Shit, I don't have a problem doing that, but like I said, that's the type of value that they instilled in me. You know what I'm saying? I don't need all that shit if I can do it myself. You know what I'm saying? It all depends on what you teach. And it's very important that you teach your child, you know, and that it's just not one parent teaching, but both parents have that understanding and both parents are on that same goddamn page. And their teachers are not pitted against the other's teachings. You know what I'm saying? They both have the understanding and the plan of what they both want to teach their children. You know what I'm saying? I know we talk about two-parent households, you know, but, shoot, even the mother and the father must have that understanding, you know, that this is what we both want our kids to have. This is what we both want to instill with them. We have that understanding, and we both stand by that understanding, you know what I'm saying? You know, that way I'm not pitted against you. You're not pitted against me. We're both on the same page. We both stand by, you know, that decision that we make for both of our kids, ain't nobody gonna get us out of that, you know, or change our minds, you know, where there's conflict between the mother and the father over that shit. Huh. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. You know, it's important to have a two-parent household, but, you know, you have to put in details. Sometimes, because really it's all about the details. You just can't say a two-parent household. You know what I'm saying? You have to go in deeper. You can't be that goddamn broad.
Two-parent household, it's not going to help if it's dysfunctional. And a one-parent, a single-parent household can function if that single mother, says, usually a single-parent household, a single mother, but if she has, you know, if she has men to be in the life of that child, you know, where she cannot model what it is to be a man, but she has other men in her life who are there to provide that for the child, then yeah. But
yeah.
All across the board, people don't care. No, but Scholar, I think one of the problems is, and I know a lot of people say we talk about it, probably don't offer solutions, but when you have people, whether it's single-parent home or two-parent home, where they just send the kid off to school, you know, expect the teachers, the school system to babysit him for 8 hours, get him off their back, yeah, we're going to have that problem.
Well, see, the thing is, you know, I know they say, you know, we talk about problems, we don't talk about solutions. At the same time, in mathematics, you start off with a problem, and then you find a goddamn solution. And sometimes it may take you a long time to find a goddamn solution to the motherfucking problem. Shit. Fucking Einstein or them goddamn chemists or whatever. Shit. Physicists, whatever the fuck. They didn't come to that goddamn solution over fucking night. That shit took years. That shit took years. It's not going to happen overnight. Rome was a motherfucking building the goddamn day. So, shit, you may have to discuss this problem over and over and over again until you find a true solution that helps all, you know what I'm saying, that benefits all, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it comes with the motherfucking territory, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to, you know, have a problem and come up with a solution, and then your solution only breeds another motherfucking problem. Hell no. You know what I'm saying? Hell fucking all. You want a solution that basically continues to not breed problems, but only answers, basically. That's the only way I guess I can put it. But yeah. So.
That's sad, man.
And then my thing is, you know, you want to come up with solutions, but everybody has a different solution to the same problem, which that's not going to help. That's only going to cause division. Oh, I think we should do this. No, I think we should do that. I think we should do this.
Is the problem that they have different solutions, or is the problem that no matter what solution is presented, people are not willing to put forward the work to apply that said solution?
Shit, both, really. Both. I would say both. I'm
going
to
go with both.
Well,
we want to ask as far as solutions. I mean, for example, since today's topic has been pretty much about, you know, our children's achievement academically, you know, the work ethic,
mm-hmm.
We got to look at a solution as far as those kids who are not achieving now. How do we get them to achieve, to turn it around? And also, how do we prevent from having more kids out there not doing anything serious with themselves?
You got to put the time in with them. You got to put the time in with them. You know what I'm saying? You have to put the time in with them.
I can give preventative measures as far as to prevent additional cases of kids not achieving, but honestly, the ones we already have here who really aren't doing much serious with their life, who are screwing up, I personally don't have a solution what to do with them. I'm pretty sure Richard might.
I'll check for that email you sent me,
but I don't know.
You can't offer solutions to somebody that's already made that choice for themselves. Really? If them kids are already in the city, fuck this shit, what are you going to do to change their mind? They have to make that choice for themselves. So, shoot, if you can't offer a solution to them, shoot, they're going to have to find that shit on by themselves. You know what I'm saying? You can only help those that want help. And if them motherfuckers don't want help, they say, fuck this shit, fuck school, fuck, I can do this, I do that, I'm grown, whatever the fuck, then let them be grown and let them fucking find out for themselves. That's all the hell you can do. That's all I see it. That's how I see it. You know, you can't hold their hand all the goddamn time. They have to learn. They have to learn. Hopefully, they learn. And it resonates within them where they want to do better. But you can't force somebody to do better when they've been demoralized or whatever until it really pops in their head for them. You can show them the goddamn truth 20 motherfucking times, and they'll still not fucking believe you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They have to come to terms with that themselves. You can only do so much. So it's like that. You know what I'm saying? So, shoot, you save those that fucking want to be saved. You know, shit. It's like with chicks. You know what I'm saying? Like we always see that guy there, Project Pick, so, you know, that Teresa, like, don't save her. She don't want to be saved. You know, it goes same way. You don't save those that don't want to be saved. Shoot, you let the motherfuckers drown. Shit. Otherwise, you're going to drown with their ass. And if you love yourself, you know damn well you ain't about to let that happen. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes, and that's another thing with in my experience, parents sometimes let that know with me that they would not jeopardize themselves for me acting a fucking fool. They'll let me act a fucking fool by myself. So, you know. And leave me with the fucking consequences of my own actions. such ass shit. If I do fucked up shit and go to jail, they won't bail my black ass out. Therefore, yeah. I never went to jail because I knew nobody was going to help my black ass. Nobody was going to come and get me.
I agree with you with that one. Well, I feel like a player hater said, you know, his biggest fear is going to jail and having a dude making him his girlfriend. So, yeah, that should be a deterrent.
Not only that, but if you got convicts in your family and they say, motherfucker, you ever go to jail, shit, me and the homies, we're going to fuck you up. That's going to fuck you up too. Like, oh, shit. My whole family members are going to come to you. They ain't going to help me out. They going to whoop my ass. Or stuff like that. Or whatever, man. I mean, shit. You know, just consequences, you know. You eat shit. It depends on everybody's experience, though.
Yeah, true, true.
So, hell yeah.
That's sad, man.
Yeah, it is. And it is what it is. I mean, there's a lot of work to do, you know, over generational work, you know what I'm saying, because it just doesn't stop teaching your kids. You know, you continue to be a parent and a grandparent, so you have to teach the next generation. You have to teach the next generation upon the next generation until you fucking die, because you have to make sure that it just doesn't stop, you know, with your kids. You have to make sure they continue that shit on. You know what I'm saying? So you still have to teach. You still have to teach. It never ends. Motherfuckers think that, you know, parenting ends at 18. It fucking don't. It fucking don't. You just want to be, you know, selfish and say, okay, I did my job at 18. No, bitch, you didn't. No, you did not do your job. You did your job. Once you can look back over your whole fucking life and you can see your kids, your grandkids, you know, be a success by the teachings that you gave to your kids and they multiplied, that's when you can say, shit, I did my goddamn job.
I say you did my goddamn job. When you die. When you die, you're no longer there. Up until
exactly.
That point, you're still there.
Once you dead and gone, and you look back over your life, that's when you can say you've done your job. That's when you can say you were a success. You didn't have just successes. You were a success. You were successful. You know, you just can't say that, you know, just because you fucking went to college. Oh, I'm successful. No, bitch, you're not. You do not understand that word. You know, you're a success when you die, you look back over your whole life. That's when you can say that shit. You know what I'm saying? You look back over all of that, and you can say, God, shit, I was a goddamn success. Look at that. Look at what the fuck I did. I was able to teach multi-generations, and shit. Look at what each and every one of them are doing. They are carrying on the name with motherfucking pride. Shit, I did my goddamn job. I put in some goddamn work, but shit, I did my goddamn job, shit. I can rest. I can rest.
You're right. Well, let's hope one day when we, you know, when we're all grown up and we've raised the next generation and that time comes for us to lay to rest, that we can look back and say, hey, did a decent job. Our kids came out okay.
Hell
but,
yeah.
You know, we're down to the last minute, so I'm just going to let the drop song play and I don't know what we're going to have next week. Unfortunately, Ronan had unforeseen circumstances that blocked
somebody wanted to have. The topic somebody wanted to have, John said we were going to do that topic, about husbands and wives.
Husbands and wives? Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Hit me up afterwards. Hit me up offline. We can set it up as soon as possible. That way we can have more time to advertise the show, man.
All right.
All right, man. You have a good night, and I'll catch you later, bro.
All right, you too. Bye, everybody.
All right, take care.
All day. Sometimes can be extended for an hour. time until we change our minds.